Talk Live.
And back.
We're back.
Wow, I thought you were jumping the gun on that one.
We are back.
Top of the next hour, we'll do better.
We'll get better.
Yeah. I'm a little rusty here on Sunday nights. The captain is out. He is in a different recording studio right now, laying down some tracks in the music business.
He's rocking out with a flying V.
Can't wait to hear it.
Seattle, as we speak, where it's still the afternoon. But you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. As always, the phones are open. Apparently, France is on fire right now, or at least portions of it.
Literally.
We're going to talk about that. Donald Trump may be arrested as soon as Tuesday, according to news happening over this weekend. Here tonight, it is Ian.
Steve Classic.
And Sniggy.
The big headlines that are hitting this weekend is Donald Trump himself has been speaking on his Truth Social, I believe it's called. He still hasn't yet gone back to Twitter, even though they've unbanned him from Twitter and I think unbanned him from Facebook. He has yet to resume expressing himself on those platforms, preferring to keep it in-house. And he said this weekend that he's expecting to be arrested on Tuesday for, I guess, some kind of misdemeanor charge in regards to him paying off that stripper or the...
Stormy Daniels,
it's
right?
It's fake news. Don't believe it. It's fake news. I don't know.
Well, he probably really did pay her off. I don't know.
I'm sure he did.
Probably.
Yeah. So I don't know what the alleged crime is there. It sounds like a victimless one.
Another victimless crime.
I totally forgot about that until I recently saw it filter back into the news. I'm like, oh, we're still doing this?
Old news.
And this doesn't
point.
Have any does this have anything to do with like the thing that's going on in Georgia with that jury? Or this is something this is
what's
New
going
York
on
City
in Georgia?
The New York City prosecutor.
This is I think New York what's happening in Georgia?
Oh, I don't know. I can't even keep track of all the Trump stuff. I don't.
And is this the best they can do against him?
It's
really
a distraction. I don't
really
know.
I don't know. Maybe there's more coming later, but the story from the Daily Mail is that a former federal prosecutor warned Saturday that Donald Trump's social media post sharing details of his expected arrest could see him denied bail. Trump claimed on his Truth, which seems unbelievable.
I doubt that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's claimed on his Truth Social account the Manhattan DA's office will arrest him Tuesday, which is nice to get that kind of a heads up, that you're going to get arrested.
Right, we have all Monday to talk about it.
Yeah. What? They didn't just bust his door down and kidnap him?
No bear cat. Wow.
That's
Trump Tower.
That's the nice thing when you've got that executive privilege, basically. Yeah. You're connected. You know the right people. So they tell you when they're going to arrest you. I would have appreciated that.
A little heads
up. If
they
had done that for us.
Just a knock on the door
or
anything.
Even, during the daytime instead of 6 a.m.
Right.
So he's not
going to make it 7. I mean, come on, 8 o'clock.
Trump claimed that he's going to be arrested Tuesday. So that's probably a good indicator that this is really going to happen. I mean, there's been a lot of speculation about this for months now, ever since they raided his house. What
Mar-a-Lago.
Was that, like a year ago? Most of a year?
Right, with the classified documents.
Yeah,
right.
That was over the classified documents, though. So that was a whole different thing.
Yeah, but that was like the first moment when I realized that, oh my God, they might actually do something to him, because my viewpoint prior to that was, nah, he's a former president. They don't touch those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, even though he's Trump.
He's in the club. He's
in the president's club. Yeah.
That's what you would think. And Peakless Mountaineer, our Saturday night co-host, he's always said that even though Trump was sort of in the club, he's not in the inner circle.
Yeah.
So he's not one of them, even though he made it to those
he's
levels.
He's not the 33rd degree.
Well, I guess he wasn't part of the family tree. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that.
No,
there was
that?
Like a third grader that did a school project and found out that somehow all of the presidents after like whatever since George Washington have been related, even Obama.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
So, but Trump wasn't. So he's not in the family, so I don't know.
He's not
if...
in the incest
tree
the... or whatever.
I think this thing's coming up for Tuesday, so they're going to make a big splash about this. And in the meantime, 30 banks are going to fail and get consolidated under Citibank or something like that. And by the way, in banking news.
Is this going to bury the banking disaster story?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
That's an interesting question. Trump was calling this weekend for people to protest. So he's saying, hey, this is it. It's time to get back out into the streets, that kind of thing. All the while, and some of the libertarians pointed out, hey, look, conservatives, this guy threw you under the bus before.
Yeah.
So he wants you to go back out.
So does he want them to protest his arrest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems kind of...
I mean, it's all about him, right?
Because yeah.
people went out apparently at his behest on January 6th, and they've been prosecuted, yeah. and they're continuing to be prosecuted, which he could have done something about, but he didn't do anything about while he was still president. Now, in theory, he could have only done something up until he got out of office.
Yeah, I don't think the arrests were done until after.
Till later. I mean, in theory, he could have called them off or called the investigation off, but then they could have started.
But he's not in the family.
Right. Well, and but he didn't even try. Right. Yeah. So, like, all he's done
well,
is.
Well, he's
said a
sore loser.
So, anyway, Glenn Kirshner, who's an MSNBC legal analyst, had compared the all caps rant. So, Trump has been tooting in all, or truthing, I think they call it on his site, in all capital letters all weekend long, and said it could affect the terms of his release. He speculated a judge could interpret Trump's post as an attempt to incite a crowd to riot, raising the specter of him being held behind bars to prevent him posting further inflammatory communications ahead of any trial. And if that happens, it will definitely make things worse.
What do you mean if they hold him without bail?
Yeah, because these people who are on Trump's side are already going to be upset about him being arrested, even though it's going to be the most hand-holding kind of arrest you could possibly imagine.
Yeah. I mean, they'll knock on the door, Mr. Trump. Right. We're here for you.
Yeah, he'll come out, put his hands out, or whatever. They probably
the furry
won't even
cuff
him.
They'll have the furry handcuffs. They'll probably.
Yeah. I'll be surprised if they actually cuff him. Because they're giving him such a heads up. You know, they're not going to say this guy's dangerous. We don't need to. He's not going to choke out the cops in the
Who
police
Who schedules
car.
An arrest? I have never heard of that.
Yeah, it's
okay, so your arrest is scheduled for Tuesday at, 4 p.m.
Well, he may have to turn himself in by a certain time. Could be.
Who knows how this is going to go down? I mean, I guess there's still the possibility it won't happen. But presuming Trump is, telling the truth here, it may actually happen. He says, I would slap a government exhibit sticker on this post and introduce it at his criminal trial. Quote, he has now just given the judge that will preside over his arraignment hearing food for thought about what kind of conditions should be set for the release of this dangerous man pending trial, he added. Now, all he called for was protest. Okay, Trump didn't call. I don't have the exact post in front of me, but yeah. I've read it. And Trump didn't say, get out in the street and set things on fire or attack the police or something like that. Burn
Emulate
down buildings.
France, what they're doing in France. Do that at the White House.
He just said protest. So the whole idea of calling for protest is somehow dangerous or whatever is absolutely absurd. But then again, that is how he's been treated by social media for the last couple of years, as though what he said on January 6th was somehow made him responsible for what those people, who are all individuals, some of whom were federal agents, decided to do in that case. Yeah. Somebody made a point this weekend on social media that if Trump really wanted to stir things up, he'd call for a bank run. I made that point, and then somebody else who's got a much larger audience made that point. Somebody on the conservative right said that. And if they could convert this from a standard run-of-the-mill protest outside of government buildings, which does absolutely nothing in the long run, to actually going to banks, lining up, and withdrawing all of your money, now that could actually make a difference.
Well, he has all day Monday to get it going.
He does.
I don't think he cares, though. It's this
about
is...
the banks, you mean?
I don't think so. It just
he's
seems
probably
like
on the side of the bankers.
He's exactly. And I think he's just a narcissist that wants people to protest on his behalf. Like, look at my loyal servants and all of my followers. Yep. They love me. He doesn't actually care about the fate of anyone else.
Well, and also, if he actually ends up going to trial on this, because, again, most people are going to take a plea deal. Trump certainly isn't most people.
Yeah.
But will he take a plea or will he go to trial? Because if he goes to trial, there's a good chance some Trump people are going to get on that jury and hang that jury, and they'll never get the conviction.
It's just another January 6th committee, show. Mm-hmm. It's all show.
Yeah, it is. And it will be interesting to watch whatever it is that happens. Whatever protests he's been calling for have, as far as I can tell, not yet materialized. I don't think France is protesting on behalf of Trump right now.
I mean, don't think so.
The Trump trial, would make great TV. It'd be like the OJ trial all over again.
It would, except it's federal, so you won't get to watch it. For the same reason you couldn't watch the Crypto 6 trial.
Right.
Which is a real shame.
We'll put Joe in there with a sketchbook.
That's about as good as it's going to get, unfortunately. Let's see, what else? The former president would have to be charged with a felony for him to spend any time behind bars, and there's a slim chance he'll end up in custody if the Manhattan DA ends up pursuing a less serious misdemeanor charge. So I guess they're not really clear on what the charge would be at the moment. So we're going to have to wait until he gets arrested to find that out. They haven't released an indictment.
Well, an indictment is just an indictment. He's not arrested.
Or has he been indicted? Normally you get the indictment at the same time as you get the arrest.
So all that will be released on Tuesday when the banks fail.
Presumably, yeah, unless this doesn't happen. Unless Trump was somehow BSing, I don't know. But I don't see why he would go out on that limb.
All right.
If you want to comment here, you can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. We'll certainly keep a close look on this particular story. It does promise to be one of the larger stories of the week. And, of course, the big story of the last week has been this banking situation, which we can get into as well. But since we're talking about the potential for protests, Nikki, you have a story tonight about, I've seen the images, I've seen the fires being lit in France. Thousands of people, it looks like, very large number of people are in the streets there, but why?
So this is from the AP, violent protests in France over Macron's retirement age push. And from my understanding, Macron is their president.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is in Paris. Angry protesters took to the streets in Paris and other cities for a second day on Friday, trying to pressure lawmakers to bring down French President Emmanuel Macron's government and doom the unpopular retirement age increase he's trying to impose without a vote in the National Assembly.
Hmm.
So I guess that's what they're mad about. They want to vote on it, and obviously they don't want it to be passed because I'm not sure what their retirement age is now, but I'm assuming they're retiring in France a lot sooner than the average American is.
I was going to say, I wonder how much lower it is than here. What is it here? 65 right now?
Yeah.
67 and a half? 67 and a half?
Are
I don't
you
know.
Guessing?
Yeah, I'm guessing it's somewhere like you could start taking some Social Security benefits at that age.
I think it's 65.
But you can't work so many hours. I don't know. Like, I'm not a financial advisor.
Yeah. And I know in France they get their afternoon naps and their like 3 hour lunch breaks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's all paid for by tax dollars.
I feel the same way as you, Steve, on this. Like, if you love what you do, why would you want to stop and then do nothing?
Yeah. I mean some people have to work on the highways. Yeah. They got to fill in the potholes.
I mean, some people
love
what
they
do. Some people really love what they do anyway, right? Like, you know, garbage men, some of them really like it. They like they get the satisfaction of cleaning up. And
right.
It's like,
but I mean, like heavy physical labor, you
can only do so
you can
much.
Only do it so long.
But still, I mean, even if that's what I was doing, I would still want to like do something else because I
work in the office.
Nothing is more just sad to me than seeing an elderly person just sitting and just rotting away.
Well, you see what happens. Yeah, they get confused, and that's why the dementia starts to set in, and they start to become sedentary and weak because you need to be thinking. And that's why they tell elderly people after they retire, start doing Sudoku puzzles, learn a second language, keep reading, go to the gym, go on a walk, start doing yoga, something.
Right. Don't just sit there and watch TV all day.
Because they will start to deteriorate very quickly.
And don't be a Walmart greeter because they put a life insurance policy on you at Walmart.
Are you serious?
Yeah. The company takes out a life insurance policy on the greeters.
For the elderly greeters?
Oh, my gosh.
That's
crazy. Is that legal?
That's not a confirmation. That's just something
that's
I
a
heard.
Rumor. Okay.
Yeah, it's a rumor.
That's interesting.
But it's a good rumor.
All right. So the day after Prime Minister Elizabeth Borne invoked a special constitutional power to skirt a vote in the chaotic lower chamber, lawmakers on the right and left filed no confidence motions to be voted on Monday. So I don't know what that means, a no-confidence motion.
I don't know. In the context of this, I'm not sure. And in what do they have no confidence? Is it the
government?
The lower portion of the House or whatever
I guess so. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
So a festive protest by several thousand with chants, dancing, and a huge bonfire degenerated into a scene echoing the night before. Riot police charged and threw tear gas to empty the huge square from the National Assembly after troublemakers climbed scaffolding on a renovation site, arming themselves with wood because they don't have guns there. So they're armed with wood. They're climbing the scaffolding on the renovation site. They lobbed fireworks and paving stones at police in a standoff.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's a deadly weapon.
They're not messing around.
Yeah. Paving stone, connecting with your head, that could be the end.
Yeah.
Right? So That's pretty serious.
So on Thursday night, security forces charged and used water cannons to evacuate the area.
Wow.
And small groups then set street fires in chic neighborhoods nearby.
Well, we're going to find out what this was about because we still haven't gotten the exact details on why they're mad. So hold that thought. I want to go to the caller here. Phones are open as always. The number is 603-283-6160. You're on Free Talk Live. Caller, what's your name?
My name's Robert.
Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I lived and worked in Germany about half of my adult life. And in Germany, the retirement age, I believe, right now is 67. And I believe the retirement age in France right now is 62. Mm-hmm. And I know that Germany and France, as part of the European Union, two major countries, are basically trying to get the European to be more similar rather than different from each other. And I think for that reason, and in Germany, there's a saying, the two extremes determine the middle. In other words, the middle of the road. And I think that France would probably logically have to increase its retirement age. And Germany, I don't think, will decrease it because Germans have the same problem. Their society is getting older and they have a huge population bulge. And consequently, in order to balance that out, they're all going to have to make the retirement age, particularly in France, a little higher.
Do they have, Robert, the equivalent of Social Security in Germany, wherein once you reach the retirement age, that's when the government retirement benefits start, the checks start coming in?
Yes, exactly. And and if you don't have...
Well, that's why they're not going to want to raise it. I mean, there's no government in the world is going to... I'm sorry, lower. That's why Germany's not going to
They're going to hold off as long as they can.
They're not going to ever lower it. They're never going to lower that. Why would they do that? That just means they got to pay more money out to people.
Right.
And that's why France wants to raise it, because then they don't have to pay as much money out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then the other thing in Germany is if you're broke, Germany will not let you starve by any means. Germany has probably the best welfare network in the world. Sozialnetz is what they call it, and they have their Sozialämter, social offices. They have even one at the hospital.
Well, that's for people like you who actually think government welfare is somehow a good thing. To me, this whole what's going on in France is a perfect example of what welfare does to people. It creates an entitlement mentality where these people feel like they are owed something.
Yeah, they're dependents.
And and then they destroy things when they don't get their way.
Right. Why didn't they use those water cannons on the fires they started? Instead of on the people. I mean, come on, put the fires out.
It's not as much fun for the police, I suspect.
In Germany, they'll never have that problem because Germans are very, very hard workers, and they believe in keeping things straight and the books straight as well. They don't believe in messing around. In Germany, in a corporation, a major corporation in Germany, any corporation in Germany, the best earning person in that corporation can't earn any more than 12 times as much as the smallest earner in that corporation. And they don't. In America, I heard right now it's up to. I think 350 people, 350 times or 250 times, let's say 250 times the least earning person in the corporation. So that it just shows you how far extreme it's gotten. As a matter of fact, that's why Daimler wanted to move its headquarters to Detroit. But the German government wouldn't allow that because they wanted to get around some of those kinds of laws.
I don't think that's a new thing, though, where there's some people who are very rich and some people who are poor. That's not like this is a new development. That's kind of historically been the case. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
No. In Germany, people, even the very wealthiest people in Germany, I know very powerful people in Germany. One of them, he rides around in a Polo. As a matter of fact, I studied law there, and he was my law professor. And he took me out to meet his family. They were riding in a Volkswagen Polo. And he made that clear that we're riding in a Polo here.
So what?
I don't know what that means.
Cheap car.
That means that they're very, very modest, and they take pride in being modest. You won't find Germans.
So you're saying there was a? Did I hear you right? You're saying there's a restriction on what CEOs can get paid there?
Yes. If CEO can't get paid any more than 12 times as much as the least earning person in his company.
Is that a government law, or is that just kind of a culture thing?
It has to be a law.
I do believe that's a government law.
Yeah.
It
has to be a law because it prevents people from getting paid what they're actually worth. That's what a free market would allow for people to get paid what they're worth. And if you think they're getting paid too much, then don't buy their products.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, in how much is a person worth? Could somebody really be worth 250 times as much as another person?
Yeah, if, sure.
If they work
get.
Harder, you know, I mean.
I know basketball players that make 100 million times more than I do playing basketball.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's easy to look at that and say, oh, well, that person's just another human being. How can they be worth that much more? I get that perspective. But someone out there said that this person is worth paying that amount of money. That's why it's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, they can afford to do it. Somebody else is willing to pay them a high amount. You had to outbid those people. I mean, that's just the reality of it. That's what you can do in a free market. And if you don't like it, don't buy the basketball team's jerseys. Don't right. go to the
don't
games.
Don't support them. Don't buy their products.
That's the solution, Germans is not to pass a stupid law about it.
Germans intrinsically don't see it that way. They can't imagine that you could pay that would be a fair kind of a thing.
Every Germans single German?
Like he speaks that. For all Germans.
Well, I think inherently we are that way. We feel
we,
that way.
We yes, weren't you born yes, in the United yeah, States?
No, I was born in the United States to a German. So therefore I'm viewed as in Germany as a German because of that. But Germany.
Are you a half German or are you a full German?
Well, I'm actually a quarter Roman, a quarter Italian Swiss, and 3/8 Ashkenazi Jew from Heidelberg, and 1/8 Sephardic Jew from Venice, Italy.
Sounds like an interesting sandwich. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Let's go to Jerome. He's on the line in South Carolina. Go ahead, Jerome.
All right, Jerome.
Dankeschön. Oh, my Dankeschön. I'm glad you came. Oh, my Dankeschön.
We are glad you came here, Jerome. Always enjoy hearing from you. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, somebody going to get an indictment on Tuesday, and it ain't going to be me.
I know, right? So what is
get indicted on Tuesday.
What are they going to indict him about? I mean, have you been following this case?
Yes, I have.
Of course he has.
Give us the scoop, Jerome. What is going on? What's going to happen to Trump on Tuesday?
Stormy. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday is just as bad. Stormy Daniels, the gift that just keeps on giving.
Okay, but what happened, though? Give me the rundown here. What do I need to know? Yeah. Pretend like I don't know who Stormy Daniels is and just explain it to me.
It's called Hush Money.
All right, I can't hear you when you're whispering. Hang on, Jerome. I want to bring him. Yeah, I want to bring him back here. Hang on, Jerome. Just stick with us. I want to make sure you can explain this whole thing to me. What is going on? Why is Donald Trump going to be arrested? And I want to know what Jerome thinks. Does he think Trump is going to be denied bail? Is he going to be held until trial on this charge? I don't think there's any chance that that's going to happen, but we'll see. More coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. And we are back, Free Talk Live, continuing here live Sunday episode. The number, if you want to join the show, it's 603-283-6160. Is Donald Trump going to be arrested on Tuesday? He certainly thinks so. Somebody tipped him off, probably his attorney.
Maybe Jerome has some inside information.
Well, we're going to get Jerome. He's still on the line here. We're going to bring him back on with you tonight, though. It is Ian.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
And again, the phone number is 603-283-6160. Also, France is in the midst of some pretty riotous-looking protests. They've gotten out the water cannons. There's a lot of fires that have been started by protesters there, and they're mad because the government there is apparently trying to sidestep the process and increase the retirement age. We hadn't mentioned this yet, but apparently it's going. They want to make it from 62, where it currently is, up to 64, and people are in the streets and they're going crazy. So,
2 more years of work? No yeah, way.
We go to your phone calls. We got Jerome on the line, though. Jerome wanted to talk about this Trump thing, and you mentioned Stormy Daniels. She's this like porn star, apparently, or one-time porn star that was involved with Trump. But what is the story here, Jerome? Why do you believe that the arrest is going to happen? What are the charges or charge? What is the charge going to be? Give us the scoop here.
Hey, Jerome needs to remember one thing. Snitches get stitches. It was me. I'm the one that snitched on him. It was my fault.
What do you mean?
Look, you can't, during this campaign, this came out, and they tried to bury it. He had his lawyer paying this woman money because she was going to come public with that story about him.
And, what was she going to say about him, though? I mean, what was the scandal? I honestly didn't pay close attention to it.
She was probably going to say he's got a small you-know-what. But you can't say that.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
You can't talk about the president like that.
That would be hilarious if that was what all of this came from.
You can't talk about the president like that.
Well, he wasn't the president at that time, right? Or what?
I don't think so. I think it was years before.
Wasn't the scandal with her on the run-up to the election? Didn't that happen?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even remember.
2016.
So it was during the campaign.
Yeah, it was during the campaign, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he wasn't the president yet.
Yeah, but he was about to be.
And he still got elected, so apparently the people allegedly didn't care.
Well, I mean, you heard some of the things he said. Remember the secret recording
grabber by the whatever?
Yeah, that he still got elected, even though he said that kind
of
stuff.
It's gross. Like the grandmother, you know.
Yeah, the thing you can't say on the radio in that context. So we don't really know what she was going to do, but whatever it was, he wanted to pay her off. What is the charge, though? Like, what are they going to get him with on this?
Hey, whatever she was going to do, they done already did. So there's that. No, it's got a lot of something to do with campaign finance laws and stuff, you know, and trying to cover stuff up. Like what they did with Clinton when they found out about Monica. Oh, how far did they run with that? They're still running with that one 20-something years later. He didn't want that to come up. He felt like that was going to damage the campaign, and he might have been right. And then you got the phone call with the lawyer. Hey, what are we going to do? We going to pay him with a check? No. We got to pay him in cash. Yes. Yeah, right.
I just want to know what the crime is. Like, if you pay somebody to keep quiet.
Yeah, is that illegal?
If they have information and you pay them to not reveal that information... I mean, she didn't blackmail him. She's not the one being arrested. That would be illegal, right? Like, if you come to somebody and say, I know what you did, and I'm going to tell everyone unless you pay me, that's blackmail. But she's not the one who's going to get picked up here, right? So
yeah, but there was another story about a woman that accused that he had an affair with, where they killed that story. You know, they bought her off.
Well, there were several women that came out, right?
Oh, really? Do tell. More than me.
I thought that all these people signed NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, and there was really nothing there legally.
I just remember when the whole Stormy Daniels thing, when I first heard about that, then all of a sudden like 15 different women were like, yeah, he did it to me too, or yeah, he's a creep. Yeah, I heard him say that. I mean,
of course he's a creep. Yeah. He's a politician. He's a power seeker. I mean, every one of these guys is a creep. Look at Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue.
Wait a minute. Haven't you seen Joe? Wait a minute.
Yeah, like touching 6-year-old girls and sniffing their heads.
Yeah, I mean, Trump's got...
That's worse, I think.
We don't know what Trump's into, okay? He's smart enough to like not show it on public television or whatever, whenever he's on camera. But Joe Biden is so brazen, he's just doing this stuff right out in the open.
Look, just because you sniff a woman's head, that doesn't make
a woman,
you
little girl.
Women,
little girl, 6-year-old girl.
And boys.
And boys.
Girl, your hair smells nice.
Okay, that's... No.
All right, Jerome, so what do you think's going to happen here? You think Trump's going to get arrested on Tuesday... Are they going to deny bail? Is he going to get hit with a felony charge? I mean, you just What do you think?
Give us some examples.
I don't know I think they're going to like try to sneak him in the back door, but he's going to have to still walk like an Egyptian because he's. They're not going to put walk.
I don't think. Yeah, I was going to say you don't call it walk like an Egyptian when you get arrested. That's generally
flag
not
marched.
Jerome, thank you for the call tonight, though. I do appreciate hearing from you.
No, thank you.
And enjoy the party. I presume you're going to throw a party on Tuesday, right, when the news comes out?
Party on, guys. Party on, guys.
Right on. Party on, Wayne. Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. That was good. The number here is 603-283-6160. Chester is on the line in Tennessee listening to WGOW out of Chattanooga. Go ahead, Chester.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Welcome. You're on the air.
Well, I don't think Mr. Trump is going to get arrested on Tuesday. That's just a big sham. But, you know, I love you, man.
Hang on a sec. You may have a bad cellular connection here, Chester. You're kind of fading out a little bit there. What I heard you say was you don't think he's going to be arrested. Why would he say it? He posted this weekend on his Truth Social account that he is expecting to be arrested on Tuesday.
I think he wants to.
It makes him
look favorable or in front of all these people. Which I'm not a Trump fan.
Okay.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm a Cruz fan.
Who? Cruz?
Mr. Cruz. Yeah.
Ted Cruz, that guy?
Ted Cruz.
Okay.
Yes. And the reason is I just don't know. He's something I don't know. But,
the reason you're a Cruz fan is you don't know?
Well, that sounds good to me. I like it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Why would anyone be a fan of these people? That's the thing that's just bewildering to me. I mean, they're all lying scum.
But no. He has testicles, you know. I give Trump. He has testicles, sir.
Testicles, okay. Well, I mean, I guess you could prove that.
And I
don't know if I believe it, though. I mean, most of these people are cowards, politicians by their nature.
They were born that way. I believe it.
I don't even know what you're saying right now. I have to apologize. Anybody else following this?
No, it's just hard. It sounds like it's kind of coming in and out. Yeah.
Issue. So, Chester, what I just don't understand why anyone would believe a politician or think that they are worthy of appreciation.
Nobody believes politicians. That's the thing. I agree with you with that.
All right. Well, Ted Cruz is a politician, too, so why would you believe what he has to say?
Well, at least he's seen honest.
Well, he's not. I'll tell you what. It's probably not going to be hard. If we do 2 minutes worth of research, we can probably find, you know, five different things he's lied about in the last
five years. Allegedly the Zodiac killer? Wasn't that part of the rumors?
Isn't he Grandpa Munster? That's what I heard.
Well, I mean, I heard about that movie.
I thought Trump called him Lion Ted. Lion Ted.
Thank you, Chester, for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. We continue here. The number, by the way, 603-283-6160. If you want to join us, Sam is in Ohio. Why anyone trusts any politicians? Like, hello, they're all scum.
Hello.
But Sam, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with what you were saying. Why can anyone agree with any of them? They're just temporary agreements, if that.
They're temporary what?
Agreements, if that even, in terms of trusting a politician.
A temporary agreement?
Yeah, like in terms of like they're promising something's going to be permanent, but it isn't really permanent, so might as well just be temporary.
Oh, they're just promises. I mean, they always say things to get elected.
But
and
that's
then they
what
just,
I mean by that.
They go against.
Yeah, they're empty.
Yeah. Can't believe anything they say. They just want power. And then when they get the power, they do whatever it is that keeps the power and that helps their buddies. And punishes their enemies. That's just the way of the world.
He promises to fill in the potholes before the snowstorm.
Go ahead, Sam.
What I was thinking about when I was calling in is there's supposedly going to be an indictment against Trump, and it seems like they're worried people are going to protest or something over it.
Yeah, that's definitely in the news this weekend. It doesn't seem like the protests have materialized yet. Maybe the people are waiting for Tuesday and to see if he actually does get arrested. Or maybe Trump has lost the following that he thinks he has, and he's not going to be able to generate the kind of protests that he's hoping for. Who knows? But we'll see probably in the next 48 hours or so. Sam?
Yeah, it just seems like something that could get out of hand, and then they argue anyone that's out is supporting it or something.
More domestic terrorists.
Indeed. I mean, we're seeing what they're doing with these people from January 6th, where they're acting as though essentially an unauthorized tour of the Capitol building is somehow the greatest threat that the United States
insurrection
has ever seen. Worse than 9/11, some people say.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what a joke.
But I'm saying them using this as like a martial law type event.
They may very well. I mean, at the very least in D.C. they might. I don't know what it would
look
like.
Well, it's probably problem, reaction, solution. Well, there's more domestic terrorists. Now we really have to do something to stop these protests.
Yeah, and you better believe the federal agents are going to be in the midst of these protests.
Yeah.
The FBI, CIA, they're going to be undercover.
They always are.
FedEx.
They're going to try to whip things up even worse than January 6th because it's going to look worse, right? Like January 6th was just about him having the quote-unquote election stolen. Now they're literally going to potentially kidnap him.
Now it's Trump's MO. This is what he does. He incites riots. That's his thing. We got to get rid of him.
And maybe this will be the excuse for Facebook to ban him again, right before he's even picked up the account again. I don't know, Sam. It'll definitely be one worth watching. Was there anything else you wanted to share?
You see the UBS bailout of Credit Suisse?
Yeah, I didn't have it in show prep for tonight, but that was news over the weekend. UBS, which is some other Swiss bank, I don't know what it stands for, United Bank of Switzerland, maybe. Yeah. But they are bailing out to the tune of $2 billion. They're buying up Credit Suisse, which is really not a lot of money. They're basically giving them pennies on the dollar for the amount of whatever
buying up their shares or whatever.
Yeah, they're buying it all up, apparently. And the Swiss government is guaranteeing a line of credit of $100 billion to UBS in return as a thanks.
The Swiss taxpayers are on the hook.
This up. Correct.
Right. Oh,
correct.
That's great.
Yeah, awesome. Did I summarize that correctly, Sam?
Yes. And the line of credit, I'm assuming, is for if they have a bank run on UBS, it'll cover that bank run.
Well, I'm going to the bank tomorrow.
Right? Maybe you won't be alone on that one.
We'll get in line.
It doesn't seem like the panic has really caught. There weren't any lines at the banks that I saw this week, so people are still not yet aware of what's going on.
Yeah, I got some Federal Reserve notes out last week.
Yeah, get it out while while you still can. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sam, for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. We continue with this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name? Hello? And they hung up. Let's go to this one. David, you're on Free Talk Live. David in Georgia.
Hello, it's been a while.
Welcome, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, this whole UBS and this whole bank failure type thing. I just saw an article today that was talking about Google search trends for like bank failure and bank run and things like that have been way up since these banks went down. And you mentioned on a couple of shows that you didn't see any bank runs, lines outside the branches and everything.
Not since Saturday of last weekend when there was social media posts of First Republic Bank in Brentwood, California, where there was a line out the door down the side of the building.
There was one in Boston, too.
Really? Mm-hmm. At First Republic?
Wells Fargo?
No, it was... I forget what bank it was.
When was this?
This was Wednesday, I believe.
Okay,
because we covered it on
that.
The show, so it must have been Wednesday. Yeah,
this week.
Yeah,
Wednesday. Oh, okay, I had not heard about that one. What did you see? Or not? I guess you couldn't have seen it, David. But what did you hear about? He's blind. Go ahead.
Well, my thought as to why we're not seeing these bank runs seriously is probably because of ACH and electronic transfers. Because in 2008, when that bank went down, it took 10 days to go down, but that was also 2008 before. We really get a whole lot of online banking, and these days everybody does it, and so I can definitely see why it went down in 2 days.
Yeah, well, I mean, there has been the news this week that a lot of people have been transferring funds from smaller banks into larger banks, so people that are on these mid-sized banks, a lot of them are moving up to the so-called too-big-to-fail banks.
I don't know if that's a good idea necessarily.
I don't think it's a great idea at all.
They're just getting swallowed
up. That's going to be a disaster when that goes down, because it's going to.
But that's, I think, the point you're making, David, is they're not pulling their money out of the banking system. They're just moving it from one bank to another, thinking that bigger is somehow safer.
Yeah, right. They're gonna regret that real fast. What I did when I heard about all this is I took my money, I moved it into my checking account, And then I took and went to local Monero, and I bought the entire thing's worth of Monero.
Wow, no way. That's awesome.
Nice.
Good for you.
I am out of here. I am keeping just enough dollars to pay my bills, and anything extra is going to local Monero, and I'm going to buy Monero with it. I'm getting out of this thing.
Now, local Monero is a site that's related to agoradesk.com. If I recall, I think it was localmonero.co. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
They're owned by the same company, which is out of the British Virgin Islands.
Okay. Yeah, and I didn't know where they were located, because I was going to say if they're in the U.S., they better get the hell out, because they're going to be targeted by the the federal government. But essentially, Local Monero is a site that in agoradesk.com is a site where you can buy both Monero or Bitcoin and or Bitcoin. So it's your choice. And they essentially do the same thing that Local Bitcoins used to do back in the day. Local Bitcoins, by the way, recently announced they were closing. So they're not closed yet, but they've essentially turned off all trading. And they've told all the customers that if you have money with us, you better get it out within the next 12
months. Well, at least they're telling
you
to get it out instead of just like closing up.
Yeah, they did give a heads up. Yeah.
And they're based in the U.S., Local Bitcoins?
No, they were based in Finland.
Oh, okay.
But the governments of the world are coming after these
everywhere.
Companies.
Unfortunately.
And so kudos for Local Monero and Agoradesk for continuing to offer this service to allow people to buy and sell. We actually just happened to be talking about this tonight before the show, not in the studio, but at our Social Sunday meetup here where libertarians meet on Sundays here in the Keene area. This specific website came up. I can't go on crypto websites under my bail conditions, but Chris, who was there, said that he'd gone at some point and he felt like there weren't that many sellers on there, although he doesn't tend to have a good memory. So since you actually been there recently, David, what's it like? Are there a bunch of offers on the site, or is it slim pickings as far as who you can buy from?
Oh, there are quite a few offers. Okay. Some of them are quite unattractive and want extremely high premiums.
Sure.
But you can either make your own offer for a lower premium, or you can choose whatever the lowest premium for that category is. Like if you go to PayPal or whatever, some people want 10%, which is fine.
Okay.
And then other people are wanting 20, 30, 40, 50%.
Wow,
and like,
that's crazy.
I'm going to take a 10%. I'm going to take the 10% one. Thank you very much.
Well, I was told that in my trial, the prosecutor said that by charging 10%, which was pretty standard for those sites, that meant that I was doing business with scam artists and trying to attract scam artists to purchase from me, because no one would charge that much money. But that's what's very standard. And like you said, David, you were more than happy to pay 10% to whoever this person was that was selling.
Well, a lot of precious metals dealers, you can buy the coin at whatever the spot is, but the premium is really high.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
Like, you know, for an ounce of silver may cost you $26, but the premium is $15.
Well, and David, you paid via PayPal for this?
I've done two things. I've done either PayPal or my bank has a facility for paying people. So I've done one or the other. And both of them are about 10%, 8 to 10%.
10% seems cheap for that, because the problem with PayPal and the problem with bank transfers is they're reversible. So if you end up with a scammer, if David's not a scam artist, but if a scam artist opens a trade with that same seller, and the scam artist is like, oh yeah, sure, I'll send you $1,000 for Monero, and then once the seller releases the Monero because they got $1,000 in the PayPal account, oh, it turns out the scam artist then informs PayPal that he never authorized the transfer, and PayPal just pulls that $1,000 back. But you can't pull the Monero back, so
right.
The scam artist walks away with both the $1,000 and the Monero.
Crypto.
So it's highly risky to do any kind of bank transfer or PayPal related stuff. So that's why you have to charge 10, 20%.
Make sure you got real people who are...
Well, these scammers will get you eventually, basically.
So you got to make up the money.
You're going to lose everything that you just got from the legitimate people when the scammer
hits you. So you probably don't want to do anything over like $500 or $1,000.
That would certainly reduce the damage.
You
in
do
those
smaller
instances,
I would just stay away from PayPal altogether, honestly.
As a seller, it's too risky. And here's the other thing, PayPal will shut you down. If they find out that you're selling Bitcoin,
goodbye.
You're permanently banned. Aria is permanently banned from PayPal because of that.
Well, it's not too much of a loss,
they'll
in my
opinion.
They'll
sell you the Bitcoin.
Yeah.
They have Bitcoin.
Well, they don't want competition.
Right. Anyway, go ahead, David.
My thought as a seller is to either do really low transaction limits for reversible transactions, so PayPal and bank transfers, whatever, do really low, or do require like high reputations, so people who have been on the site for a long time, because you can set, okay, I want only people that have done, that have gotten, say, 6 reputation points. And to do that, you have to trade $600 worth of Monero with other people to get those 6 reputation points.
It's kind of like eBay. You have a seller rating, right?
They always have their ways, though. I mean, those are ways you will knock out some of the scammers, the more, I don't know, lazy ones.
But $600 is pretty low. Well, you know, they could do $600 worth of legit transfers just to get
to that level.
Yeah, to make $1,000.
Yeah. It's not hard. The thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's not a foolproof way of doing it, but it definitely takes out some of the lazier ones or some of the, like, the dumber ones.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like eventually they're going to get you. And I mean, I did everything I could when I was regularly doing this kind of stuff on these sites. And it's just like even when I had the most what I considered to be ironclad requirements, they still managed to figure out ways to circumvent them. I'll give you one example. One guy who was one of the witnesses at the trial, named Patrick, he seemed completely legit. He had multiple transactions under his belt on the website, on his profile. So it's like, oh, this guy's bought before. He's bought from other people. He's got positive feedback. He wants to buy a large amount. But I called the guy up and I put him through all the questions I had about, are you under duress? Is there a third party involved? Is this for your lover? You know, are you... Mm-hmm. No, this is just for investment. I just, you know, I'm retired. I want to invest in Bitcoin. Okay, well, what kind of wallet do you have? He answered all the questions exactly how somebody legitimately buying Bitcoin would have answered them. He bought Bitcoin once. He came back again a few days later, bought Bitcoin again. And he came back again. And I think it was like 3 or 4 times that he bought Bitcoin. And turned out that he ended up spending his entire inheritance, or not inheritance, just all his retirement savings, basically over $1 million, not with me. Mm-hmm. 900,000 of it went to somewhere else. Yeah. And he spent about $200,000 to $300,000 with me and what we were doing with selling Bitcoin. And I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. Mm-hmm. He told me exactly what I wanted to hear, because what had happened to him was he was under threat by someone who called, apparently. This I learned this from the police that was investigating it later and told me the story, because I was helping them, right? Like giving them whatever information I could to help. And he had been called by someone who claimed to be with Social Security. And so this person claimed to be a federal agent and said, look, you are in trouble if you don't do this, if you don't do what I say. And then over a period of weeks, this guy emptied out all of his financial accounts. He went to Fidelity or wherever else he had the money. He transferred them over to banks. If a bank would close his account, he'd just open up another bank at the insistence of the scam artist. He did absolutely everything this person asked him to do, including lie to me when I asked him all of the required questions. And yet they brought him in to testify at the trial, and he claimed I only asked him one question, which is completely false. I don't think that he was lying. I think that he just probably just
still
didn't remember.
Under duress. Yeah.
He just didn't remember what had happened.
It's just so crazy that you could be held liable
for
that.
And I'm the one who's
going
to, you know, I'm facing prison.
That's ridiculous.
I think that unfortunately you got the bad end of the stick. But
yeah,
I think
definitely. And I wish those guys the best of luck on that site. It's incredibly risky out there, not just because of the scam artists, but because the government might target you as well. And then there goes all the money that you made. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. Thanks, David.
Free Talk Live.
Talk Live, kicking off the second hour of this live Sunday show. You can join us if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian,
Steve Classic,
and Nikki.
And by the way, I want to say thank you to Robert Grogan, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. You can join Robert. He's doing $5 a month. That's all that we ask for. It's AMPS, stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It is our Patreon. You can go to amps.freetalklive.com. Get signed up there. Use your debit card, your credit card, as long as the banking system lasts.
Yeah,
at least
before Tuesday.
You can still do this. So head over there to amps.freetalklive.com. Also PayPal, that's another way that you can do it. amps.freetalklive.com. You get some perks, you get some benefits for doing that. Lots of people, you know, so far tonight have been talking about this Trump thing where he said over the weekend, yesterday, that he's expecting to be arrested on Tuesday. Now, we're not clear on exactly what the charge is going to be. The mainstream media seems to think that it's going to just be a misdemeanor, which would mean up to a year of jail time. But, of course, he doesn't have a criminal history, so the odds that he would end up serving any time on that are pretty slim. Some people are speculating that maybe he will be denied bail for simply calling for people to protest, which seems ridiculous. To me, but you know, the people want to fantasize, especially those who are against Trump, want to fantasize that this will be the worst possible thing. And if you want to comment here, you're welcome to join us. The number 603-283-6160. I would say that there's a good chance he's going to be arrested if that's what he was told. Like, the odds that they're going to all of a sudden back down and not go through with that seems pretty slim. But I think it's probably going to be a pretty easygoing arrest. They've obviously told him about it. So if he wanted to run, he certainly could. But he knows this is fodder for him. He knows that if he can get handcuffs put on him, he will want that.
He loves the attention.
Yeah, it's going to, those pictures, that video of him being carted out.
Look at what they did to me.
Right. And if he gets denied bail, that's even more, you know, bonus points in his corner for upsetting his base.
Yeah.
But as of yet, we haven't seen any protests materialize.
Taking a page out of the playbook in France, New York Post is reporting that New York City is bracing for unrest after Trump calls for protests over possible arrest.
And Trump has supporters in New York City?
I was like, how many of those people? Like, what, 20 of them are going to be out there? We're in front of
Fox News?
Yeah, I mean, are they gonna... the Fox News headquarters. That's it.
Let's go to the phones here. We do have Joe on the line in New Mexico listening on Kiva. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello. Joe.
Hey, you're on the air.
Love you guys' show. Appreciate very much what you've done with your lives for your children and for the country. So,
thanks.
I'm a donator. I'm a follower. You know, so
thank you.
So onto this ridiculous political persecution of the man. Zero doubt in my head that it is completely political.
Well, of course it is.
I think. I think the attorney general, if you want to call him that, I think he was pressured into this. They're trying to turn a misdemeanor into some kind of felony, and it's silliness.
Now, is this, when you say the attorney general, are we talking about the state of New York or the federal one?
Well, I think the state of New York is that the one.
I don't know. That's the thing. Is this going to be a federal charge or is this going to be a state of New York charge? I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, I'd already heard it was state.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. That's interesting.
And we all have to do our due diligence and find out. But there's, you know what, with the murder rates soaring there and regular average everyday crimes that should be prosecuted are not being done, I don't think that anybody, even the people on the left, could deny this is completely political. It's an embarrassment. This man should be disbarred. He needs to be removed from his position of power, what power he has, because he's a pawn, you know, and he's not willing to stand up and do what's right.
The story that I have from the Daily Mail does mention that the Manhattan district attorney is the one involved in this. So, yeah, it does sound like this may not be a federal charge at all in that case.
Well, okay. So, in any case, whichever it is.
Oh, yeah, of course it's political. It's obviously completely political. It seems to me like they're grasping at straws if this is the best that they've got.
Whatever state they come from, I mean, you know, he's living in Florida right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are they going to extradite him?
They will.
Are they going to drag him out of there, you know?
Absolutely, they will.
He's already offered to surrender himself, you know, if this happens. It's an embarrassment.
All right.
Whatever, you know.
What do you think is going to come out of this, though? I mean, do you think that there's going to be massive protests? What's your prediction?
I don't have a prediction. You know, what I'm going to analyze is that they're trying to appease their base. These people are they're out of their minds with just hate for somebody who's done nothing wrong. I heard nothing besides the entire 4 years he was president. He's just lining his pockets.
I mean, that's the thing is, if they're going to, if they think this is going to appease their
net value when he was president, it's ridiculous. Every bit about it is ridiculous. But you cannot reason with somebody who's unreasonable.
If they think that they're going to appease their base by doing this, they're not calculating the fact that they're throwing red meat to Trump's base as well at the same time. So like, it's going to energize both sides.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm fine with the right getting energized because we've been so unenergized for so long.
I don't know if I agree with that.
What do you
mean? Think the right's
okay.
Been plenty energized. You know, they're always mad about something. Trump, it seemed really like lit a fire under a lot of conservatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just made them super excited again and whatever. And Joe Biden getting elected really, you know, made them upset as well and made a lot of conservatives get more active and outspoken from what I've seen.
Well, my theory, I think this is just going to swamp the media cycle. The television, mm-hmm. So they can't report about the banks. I really think like this is going to be a complete cover up for the banks. Like we don't have anything to talk about except Trump. Oh, and the banks just went under. Don't worry. Mm-hmm.
Well, it might be a good distraction.
It's going to be a great distraction.
Biden's a fake president, the way I see it, quite honestly. He's a joke. They do their best to cover up for him, which they always do for the left. They can never admit they're wrong. You know, have you ever had an argument with somebody on the left? And once you bring up and you hammer them down on a point, they just go to the next thing.
They'll call you a racist.
That's true with a lot of people, though. I mean, that's
true with conservatives, too.
Well, maybe
it's true with libertarians.
I'm only Chinese, German, and Mexican.
LRN.FM.
Okay, hit the button. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. It was pretty hard to hear, though. We continue with your calls and thoughts. Let's see what else we need to know here about this Trump thing. They're saying, Meatball DeSantis' bootlicker is our chatter in our chat room on chat.freetalklive.com.
Love the username.
His theory is that he thinks Trump's revealing this arrest was coming in the hope that the feds will fix it from happening before it does.
Oh, I doubt that.
Because they don't want the precedent of charging a president with a crime.
Huh.
Wow. Because he says then Republicans will just charge Biden, Obama, etc. in response for that. Since no
I
president...
So.
It'll just go on and on and on and on forever.
I don't think so.
I mean, I'd be happy to see it if that happened.
He's posting because he just wants the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to, you know, get his people to riot. Or protest, whatever.
He points out, and the news media has pointed this out as well, no president has ever been charged with a crime, ever.
Well,
so this would be a precedent-setting thing.
Even though they're all criminals.
Indeed.
The irony.
They've never been charged with a
yeah,
crime.
That's right. the key word.
Right.
Yeah.
Charged.
We continue here with, we've got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. All Go ahead, Major. The number, by the way, 603-283-6160. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, what is the captain jump ship on you guys?
The captain,
in a row.
He is in Seattle doing some recording in a music studio.
Oh, okay. So anyway, this must be warrant news tonight. NATO has issued a warrant for Putin on war crimes.
Really?
I think that was.
I don't think you guys have covered.
I didn't hear about that.
And,
I heard it was the ICC. I don't know what that stands for. Is that a part of NATO?
International Criminal Court.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess he was. Putin was. Child trafficking or human trafficking
really?
Children out of Ukraine?
Really?
Like, really?
Don't they all do that?
I think they're charging him with the atrocities in the Ukraine. But anyway, I got another one from the Department of Justice, and this is right up the whole Trump thing. They are issuing another 1,000 arrest warrants for January 6th.
Jeez.
Isn't it a little late for
that?
Like,
well, how many
give
have
the
they
rest?
Gone through so far?
They just can't quit chewing on the same damn bone.
But how many people have they prosecuted so far on that?
Oh, I don't know. What was the original count? I forget. Maybe 600 and something?
Yeah, about 600 is what I heard.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of people are on no-fly lists, even if they weren't arrested or whatever.
Well, great way to stack more people up with felony charges and ruin their lives.
Yeah,
put them in a
15-minute
city, maybe, instead of send them to prison. Put them in a 15-minute city. Yeah,
they want to intimidate people into not having protests in the future, right? Like, oh, if you protest in the wrong way at the wrong place, then we'll ruin your life,
right.
is what they're trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. They'll put a business card at your door.
They don't want people. They want sheeple.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. All right, so 1,000 more indictments coming for January 6th, right as Trump is asking people to hit the streets in his favor. It's going to be interesting to see if something materializes from what Trump, because something will, right? Because the feds at the very least are going to show up so they can rile people up and possibly get them to do something violent so they can arrest them.
Sounds like they're just turning the burner up on the pot. Like, let's just take it up one more notch. Let's
is Trump part of this? Is this all part of trying to?
I don't know. He's not in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
It could be, you know, the divide and conquer World Economic Forum, you know.
Yeah, interesting news, Major. Anything else you want to share tonight?
No, there's just so much evil in the world. It's hard to cipher through it all.
Thanks for the call. Definitely appreciate it. Let's go to this caller. You're on the air. Caller, what is your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
All right. My name is Rick, and I'm calling from Brandon, Mississippi.
Rich, welcome,
Let's
sir.
Go, Brandon.
You're on the air.
fantastic. Guys, I hate to enlighten you to something, and you can call me whatever name. That's fine.
All right.
Our votes do not count anymore. Guys, this is the Netflix. This is the Broadway show that tells us our votes count. It's all a song and dance, people. People are not elected in this country anymore. They are placed.
It's been that way for a long time.
Yeah, since JFK, I think.
Joe Biden was placed. He was not elected. We do not. We go through all this song and dance, voter election fraud. Mm-hmm. These machines are tricked. You know, the paper ballots. And guys, it's a show.
Well, what would it matter? I think it's always been a show. Like, what, at least in our lifetimes, probably in our parents' lifetimes and so on. But what would it matter if the votes did count? Because if all you're voting for is a bunch of scum, which is usually who's running for office, then what does it matter?
Okay, unfortunately, you wouldn't have a job because you have nothing to talk about.
Oh, no. There's always
there'd still be plenty.
Yeah, humans are always conflicting with one another over something.
The people that don't believe the election was real and it was stolen, you know, they're not getting support from the Republican Party. And they're not. Guys, look over here. Look at this shiny object. Look over here. We're talking about this. None of it matters, guys. This country is being run by China. We are just a pawn. We are a subsidiary of China.
Now, that's an interesting theory, because I've heard also that it's being run by Great Britain as well. So, I mean, both things probably aren't true together.
China runs it all.
So why are they – so is the whole – like right now there's this big push against China, right? So Joe Biden's supposed to be cracking down on China, et cetera. Is that all for show? Are they just trying to get you to think that they're against China?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you might as well turn on Gilligan's Island reruns and watch the guys, because none of this matters. What you're talking about when it comes to Republicans this, the Democrats this, guys, it's all a distraction, because the real deal is how many different parts of this country are being run by the communist China.
Now what is the evidence for it? I mean, it's an interesting theory, but I mean, what do you have to back it up?
Do we really need to talk about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and all the money and all the connections, and how every time we run out of something in this country because it's manufactured in China, lithium batteries, we got to have electric cars. Guess what the number one provider of lithium in this country is? China. Everything is dependent upon China.
Mm-hmm.
And without China's manufacturing, because we've shut down our manufacturing and all of our supply chains are being destroyed, we can't get ships in. We can't get rail cars where they need to be. You know, it's almost like a movie. You know, mm-hmm. if you're watching a movie, it's almost like turning on Netflix. I don't know if you remember an old movie called Logan's Run years ago. Once you turn 30, your little dot on your head turned red, and you went to the arena. And if you made it to the ceiling, then you got to live beyond 30. Nobody ever lived beyond 30. It was all a farce. Guys,
what do you do about it? Okay, let's accept that what you're saying is true. What do you propose?
Well, as a believer of Jesus Christ as my Savior, he needs to come on quickly, because we are done. And I'm ready
to go.
So
no answer. There's no answer beyond the rapture.
But what do you want? The second coming? Is that what the answer is?
You got it, baby. He needs to come on now, because this scripture says it is time. We have every sign. We've had every occurrence that needs to take place, and he's come home and take his children home with him.
Okay, meanwhile, let's say he doesn't come back. Do you have another plan?
He's coming, brother. He's coming.
Okay.
I mean, they've been saying that for like 100 years.
They have been saying that for a very, very long time.
They just keep pushing it back.
What do we do in the meantime?
Some people believe he already came back. There's the preterists who believe that.
You keep studying his word. You keep believing it is true because that is the only truth.
Well, I don't. I'm a panentheist.
Right, but what do we do in the meantime before this happens maybe in 2025? What do you do for the next 2 years?
Apparently, you just keep reading the Bible.
Yeah, you pray.
Okay, all right.
And then you'll get it, see?
All right, I got it. Yeah, okay.
Is that the answer?
That's right. That is the answer.
All right, okay. Why are you so sure of that?
Because I have experienced...
You're what? I'm sorry. Your phone's breaking up there.
I have experienced through my life the number of times that Christ has had a hand in my life. He's protected me, and he's protecting me now. Through all of this trial and tribulation we're going through now.
How do you know it was Christ?
How do I know it's Christ? Because he's spoken to me. I've witnessed this.
Okay.
Through other
That's
people,
pretty persuasive.
Through my family and through my own.
So you had a vision?
Absolutely. Visions, dreams.
Okay.
If you read through Corinthians, it says in the last days, the believers will have dreams, they will see visions, and there will be prophecy. Without end, and that is going on. I don't know if you've seen.
What about people who have other visions? I mean, is it okay to have a vision from, say, the angel Gabriel instead of Christ?
But when you know you're kind of nitpicking it here because Christ is the source of all of those. Angels work at God's behest, and yes, those angels can be His messengers. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, each of them have certain specific. I don't know
so then you would also say that what the angel Gabriel said to Muhammad was also the word of God, right?
Oh no, that's falsification.
Why not? Why would that be false?
Because there's only one Christ that conquered the grave. Muhammad did not.
That didn't answer my question, though. I was asking about, would it be legitimate for Muhammad to talk to the angel Gabriel? You had said that if you get a message from the angel, that's just as good. But then when I mentioned who it was, it became illegitimate?
No. What I'm saying is Muhammad's illegitimate because his faith, he did not conquer death. Muhammad didn't conquer
death. Hold on. So if you have a vision and something, an angel talks to you, it's only valid in your mind if you don't die later on?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying angels and God can speak to anyone.
Okay.
What do you do after he talks to you? What does your life do? Do you change? Do you remain the same? Do you continue to prophesy his
Well, then
name?
Couldn't the angel have talked to Muhammad?
Sure he could have.
Okay.
What did Muhammad do? He did not claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He said, I am.
No, he didn't actually. In fact, the message of, and I'm not a Muslim either. I just brought it up as an example. But the angel Gabriel appeared to Muhammad to tell him that the Christians had gotten a little detail wrong, and that was that there's not a three triune God. There's only one God. It's a monotheistic thing instead of a tritheistic thing or whatever. That was all. It was really just a minor correction. Basically, it was what you guys disagree on.
And this is coming from the Quran, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, well, the Quran is not Holy Scripture. The Bible
Why not?
It is, though. It's just not your Holy Scripture.
Yeah, it was literally delivered from the angel Gabriel, if you believe what they say.
I tell you, this is the acid test that no one can pass. Muhammad, Buddha, none of them died and rose again. Only the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So this is my issue with Christianity, because instead of just accepting that maybe God comes to us all in different ways,
right?
No, it's your way or the highway. Yeah. Christianity is the only true word of God. Instead of accepting that, maybe God comes to people however they are ready to receive him.
In different times, in different places. Yeah, absolutely.
He speaks to you wherever you are. The question is, what do you do? What do you do in response to that message? Do you say, okay, well, God spoke to me, Muhammad is the way. No, he's not.
But for
that's
some
just
people,
your opinion, man.
For some people, he is, though.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, and all I can tell you is when Christ returns, the ones that were right, will know it, and the ones that were wrong will know it.
And what happens if you're wrong?
Then you're thrown into the lake of fire where you burn forever.
See, and I can't believe in a deity that is so evil that they would throw people into hell for...
You picked the wrong book. Sorry.
You know, yeah, like, that just seems like either an honest mistake or, you know, the way they were raised. Like, why are people being punished for anything other than being a bad person? You know, what if you're a Muslim and you live your life with love and compassion and you're generous? Do they still... that your God is still going to send them to hell just because they were, God, you know?
Jesus is a God that wishes and wants you to choose. We have free will. Your choice is to follow him or not. Just that simple.
But that didn't really address the question, Rich.
You are the free... It is
why
free
would your Christ God... who is claimed to be a loving God, right? Like, that's what the Bible says.
All
right?
Good, all-knowing, all-seeing.
I just want to make sure. It does say that God's a loving God, right?
That's right. You're exactly right.
How is that love, exactly? To take something that... How is it love to take something you created in your image, and then cast it into a lake of fire for all eternity?
Because you chose.
No, that doesn't answer the question. How is that love?
It sure does. It's real simple.
You don't understand love, then. I'm sorry.
Oh, I do understand.
You don't
love. Understand
you don't throw
love.
Something you love into a lake of fire ever, right?
No.
You do forgiveness, okay? You practice forgiveness love something that messes up. If something that you've created, that you gave the ability to make a choice, chooses the way you didn't think that they should choose, you practice forgiveness. That's how you love that that person. And that's also something Jesus taught. So that's one of the problems I have here with these Christians is they don't actually follow the scriptures, that they don't follow the teachings of their own Christ.
Or into the lake of fire you go.
A lot of inconsistencies.
I do appreciate the conversation. I do appreciate him calling in. Thank you, Rich, for doing that here. The number is 603-283-6160. Very typical, though, viewpoint. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us here. The live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live continues in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Oops.
And we're back.
Old habits die hard, guys.
Good save.
Thank you, Steve Classic, for that. Welcome back to Free Talk Live. We are here, and we will take your calls and your thoughts about whatever you want. Doesn't matter if it's Trump or religion or maybe those are the same topic.
For some people,
yeah. So, phones are open, 603-283-6160. It's the live Sunday episode of the program. We barely even scratched the surface on what's going on in France as well, so if we get the chance, we'll come back to that.
Fires and water cannons.
The banks here, however, have not been using water cannons because there's not really been a run on the banks of which to speak. In the United States, maybe we'll see one soon.
Tuesday?
Who knows?
Tuesday afternoon, maybe.
Maybe Monday.
Oh.
Maybe. But we'll go back to your phone calls and thoughts here. We just had somebody on the line talking about their religious beliefs, specifically Christianity, and trying to make, you know, we were trying to make some kind of sense out of it all because it really just doesn't.
It's hard to.
Doesn't make sense when subjected to some basic questioning. That doesn't mean I'm against God. I actually believe in God. I just don't think it's a daddy God in the sky who's judging everything that you do and sending you to a lake of fire if you do the thing he didn't want you to do.
Right.
We go to your calls, though. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
Turd Ferguson is my name.
Turd, you're on the air.
Yeah, so the reason why I'm calling is because I wanted to discuss briefly the true nature of reality.
Let's get deep.
Yeah, and whether or not the universe actually exists if we're not looking at it, which I don't actually believe it does, and I base that on the science experiments, particularly the double slit experiment, which
explain that. What is the double slit experiment?
So the double slit experiment on the quantum level is when scientists are able to send an electron basically through two slits. When they do this, it forms a wave pattern on the other end for them to see until they try to figure out slit it went through, in which case it actually, then turns into a particle and actually solidifies. So basically, when they observe, when they try to observe the electron, it stops acting as a wave and acts as a particle. And of course, everything in the universe is made up of atoms, these little tiny microscopic quantum things called atoms. And it is the same deal when we're not looking at something. It exists in a cloud of superposition and doesn't actually solidify and turn into an object until we look at it. And we have science to prove this. And I base that on Werner Heisenberg and Niels Bohr's Copenhagen interpretation when they first did this experiment.
Yeah, that's very interesting stuff. I've heard this before as well, Turd, but what's the takeaway from that? What does that actually mean?
How does this have to do with Trump?
It means Donald Trump sucks. No, it means that the universe is biocentric and that life, in fact, creates the universe, not the universe creates life.
Mm.
And the Big Bang Theory is actually wrong. It only appears that way because we're looking into the cosmos and we see, and it just gives us the illusion of what we see, which is the radiation in the cosmos and the fact that the universe is expanding, even though by the scientists' own theory of physics, if the Big Bang actually was a thing, by their own laws of physics, the universe would be slowing down as far as its expansion, but it's not, it's speeding up. So that's a big problem for their theory there. But
what would that mean though, if it's speeding up rather than slowing down or vice versa?
I'm not smart enough to tell you what it means. All I know is that their theory is wrong, because if it was right, it would be slowing down. And, the way inertia works in their own laws of physics, because it's all the same scientists that believe in inertia, that believe in the Big Bang Theory, right?
Yeah.
But the bottom line is the universe is biocentric in that biology creates the universe, and the only reason it exists in the first place is because we're looking at it.
Well, it's an interesting theory.
Yeah, I think that's also a very interesting theory. What does that mean for, you know, the idea of God? Do you think that that we are part of God?
I think that the experiment is proof that there's something that we can't see that's going on in the quantum world.
Mm-hmm.
I personally do believe in God. I don't know if it's a man in the clouds that's waving his hand over the earth and making things happen, but I do believe that that the double slit experiment and the way it works is proof of God. I can also tell you that John Wheeler, who is one of the greats, he, you know, worked with Einstein and all those guys, using this same quantum theories and quantum technology, he was actually able to change the path that a beam of light took around a quasar millions of years ago in the present. So that's just another thing that quantum physics has been able to prove.
All right, Turd, anything else you want to share tonight?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Interesting call. Thank you for making it. One thing's for sure, there's a lot more going on in this universe than we can wrap our minds around.
Yeah.
I know that much.
We're still trying to figure out the Trump thing.
Right.
Like, this is mind-boggling.
Can it be that if we don't look at Trump, he goes away?
I think so.
Right. Like if the tree falls in
we
the forest,
try it.
Which is why why he wants so much attention, right? Because if no one pays attention
he'll just disappear.
Become part of the wall.
The number here, another brick in the wall. The number is 603-283-6160. Ricky is on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, yes, Brother sir. Steve, Sister Nikki.
What's on your
now,
mind?
I'm going to go over my topic. But I very briefly got a comment on this religious caller. You were absolutely correct, Brother Ian, about Muhammad and the issue with the Trinity. For 1,700 years, that's been the problem with what they call modern-day Christianity. And Jesus is not a god. He's God's son. Mm. That would be blasphemy. That'd be punishable by death. I could go on, but that's for another night. But on to my topic.
Oh, okay.
It all surrounds around Trump's personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen.
Yeah, this was the guy who was Trump's attorney, and then he turned on Trump after they threatened him with criminal charges, right?
Not only that, he lied to the Congress under oath, got 3 years for it, and disbarred. Now, here's what ended up happening.
Did he go to prison?
For 3 years.
Really? I thought he got out of it. Okay, yeah.
No, and what happened is it was between 15 and 16 campaign, and the Stormy Daniels encounter did happen at the time of the birth of his youngest son. And what Trump said to Cohen was, write this check out to hush her up. Well, that's fine, but here's where the problem came. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, do that, but do this also. Put it down as campaign finance. Now, back to Manhattan. Now, on to Manhattan. That is a state.
How is that a campaign? Okay, is that what?
That's the thing that happened in Georgia, right?
No, no. He said, no, this is the thing with the Stormy Daniels.
Oh, okay.
How is that supposed to be campaign finance? This was like a
it's
campaign
not,
expense?
It's called a lie. That's where this is going.
But no, hold on. I just want to clarify. Were they trying to claim that paying this woman off was a campaign expense?
Right. They didn't want this woman. The hush might even exist, but this was known.
Doesn't sound very smart.
It depends on who wrote the check or who what account it came on.
So what you're saying is, had they just written a check, then it wouldn't have been illegal, but because they wrote it off as part of the campaign, that's what the illegal part
was? Right, but it's even more than that. Check this little piece out.
Okay.
So that is a misdemeanor bookkeeping issue in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. After this hit, Jack Smith, who's a special counsel who's already investing Trump, Cohen talked to him twice to the grand jury. Now, I promise you, there's a lot more charges coming up that are federal charges.
Mm, okay.
Because after he was in prison, he has been giving anybody who wants it everything, tapes, documents, tax records, you name it. He's sick of lying for Trump. And as far as Trump with this post, that was most likely a leak. And Trump is just saying that. He said that before anybody knew it. Hmm. You know? It won't be Tuesday. I bet Ricky from the Commonwealth's life on it, Brother Ian.
Well, you don't think he's getting arrested Tuesday?
Definitely not.
Why would Trump say that he's expecting to be arrested on Tuesday?
Because he's trying to control the narrative and the people of this protesting, all that. You know, it was just a leak that he shouldn't have heard anyways. There was no, we're going to come warn you crap. You know, that's what happened. You know, that's not even a secret. That's already been observed. And Trump's going to go down hard for this. Plus, he's still got the stuff in Fulton, Georgia. That's really bad because he said it on tape. You know
what happened
I mean?
In Georgia?
Well, that was real easy. He, after the November 2020 election, he called Secretary of State down in Georgia and he said, I'll quote, all I need to find is 11,780 votes. That's one more than we have because we won the state. If you flip the state, it would be a great testament to the country. That's enough.
Who did he say that to?
Trump out of tubes.
The Secretary of State of Georgia.
Yeah, they recorded the whole thing, went on for an hour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's election interference, I think.
Would that be federal then that's in that federal case?
Election time federal. That's big time federal. That's been ongoing for 2 years with a special grand jury.
Right.
The story from the Daily Mail, by the way, says that Ms. Daniels met with prosecutors Wednesday to answer questions in the case, and her lawyer said she would make herself available. Cohen, the former attorney, has indicated he's given the grand jury damning testimony that implicates Trump. He testified for 3 hours in front of the grand jury on Monday this week. So gears do appear to be in motion, and we do know that when it comes to grand juries, they will indict a ham sandwich. So,
yep.
I mean,
yeah, one more note, if I may, Brother Ian.
Sure.
On Stormy Daniels. She did come for. And she spoke about the encounter, which she marked as brief, and she mentioned about Trump's unusually small package to prove that she was there.
No wonder why the banks are going to collapse.
No doubt.
All right. If that ever gets out.
Ricky, so you don't think this arrest is going to happen Tuesday, but does that mean that it's going to come later? What's your prediction there?
Well, being that we're on the weekend, I'll say it'll either be probably Monday or after Tuesday, probably later on in the week, I'd say.
All right. Thank you,
Ricky. They're not going to play games with Trump. He's really screwing around, and he's done. About time, too, because I remember Atlantic City.
Well, other people are saying that this is going to bolster his chances. So other people.
They're full of crap. They watch Fox News too much, like that one guy you were talking to. He was so way off. Yeah, he's ridiculous, you know?
Only time will tell. Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number is 603-283-6160. I'm glad someone's paying attention to this drama because it's just to me, it's just not, you know, whatever's going on with Donald Trump is nowhere near as interesting as the banking situation, which could affect a lot more people.
Yeah, warm up the water cannons.
Because honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What happens to Donald Trump does not affect my life at all.
No, it really doesn't.
And I have a hard time caring more than other things that are going on. You know?
A lot of people are going to be talking about it. A lot of people are, you know, going to be very, very paying close attention to this. But let's see, what else do we need to know about it here? According to the Daily Mail, speculation that charges were imminent increased when Bragg, who is the district attorney, Alvin Bragg in Manhattan, told Trump's team that the former president could testify before the grand jury if he so chose. When the hell does that happen? When do you get to
would
testify?
Would you like to? Yes or no? Let
in
us know.
Front of the grand jury that indicts you. A notification usually at the end of a process that could mean an indictment is near. Legal experts have said Trump could face one of two charges over the payments to Stormy Daniels, but concede both would be difficult to prove. He could be charged with falsifying business records if it's alleged that he knew that the retainer agreement with Cohen was a sham to facilitate the payments. That would be a misdemeanor under New York law unless prosecutors prove the records were falsified to conceal another crime, which would make it a felony. That other crime could be that the payments violated state election law because the intention of the alleged payoff was to benefit his campaign. Mm. Trump could face up to 4 years in prison if it were a felony charge in this case. But as of right now, the prosecutors are not talking about what they're intending to do. Mm. So that's where we're going to leave that one, unless you want to weigh in on it. The number is 603-283-6160. We were talking about what's going on in France, and Nikki, according to the story you were sharing, they are bringing out the water cannons.
Fill the water cannons.
And there's fires being set by the protesters.
Yeah, bricks being thrown.
Thousands of people are apparently in the streets, and all of this is over a change of 2 years, apparently, to the retirement age, potentially raising it from 62 years to 64 years.
And I almost have a hard time believing that, you know? Like, there must be something else. Maybe there's not. Maybe it really is just the retirement age.
It's usually, you know, in the case of these, remember the yellow vests, there's always these protests.
The color revolutions.
That are going on over there. It's almost always some sort of labor dispute.
Yeah.
Every time you see this stuff, it's just people in France don't want to work, is basically what this comes down to.
I mean, they already get their three-hour nap in the middle of the workday. What more do they want?
Do they get siestas in France? Is that
I think so.
Okay.
Maybe they're not napping. Maybe they're just eating wine and cheese.
A latte lunch? I don't know.
I might move there.
Anyways. They have all kinds of things that like prevent them from getting fired once they get the job. Like, there's all kinds of mandates in France to basically
make
sure you don't have
to work.
It's like
a giant DOT over there.
With a bunch of lazy
people.
You
just, you show up early. Yeah, don't show up early. Show up right
They can't
on time.
Fire you, basically.
Yeah, you show up late, you're okay.
So 310 people were arrested overnight. I believe that was Friday night.
That's a lot of people.
Yep. Mostly small scattered protests were held in cities around France from a march in Bordeaux, I think I'm pronouncing that right, to a rally in Toulouse. Port officers in Calais temporarily stopped ferries from crossing the English Channel to Dover. Some university
campuses.
What
do they got against ferries?
I know, right?
They're protesting.
Some university campuses in Paris were blocked, and protesters occupied a high traffic ring around the French capital. Mm-hmm. So there's protests all over the country, essentially, from blocking the ferries to going to Dover to universities.
Meanwhile, Americans are just sitting pretty and fat and
lazy and happy.
Nothing wrong here.
Also, Paris garbage collectors extended their strike for a 12th day with piles of foul-smelling rubbish growing daily in the French capital.
Well, throw it in the fire.
Is this unrelated?
Get rid of
this. So I think they're protesting because they've been protesting. So they're protesting labor conditions as well.
So this is over something else.
But I think it is due to them changing the retirement.
Because that's kind of a crappy thing to do, right? Like, you're actually going
to work for two more years of working in the garbage.
Right, but I mean, if everybody else is upset about this, why are you going to make it harder for them to, live, right? Like, piling up garbage.
So, well, really what it is, so I guess
You're hurting
several,
the average person.
Right. Yeah. So call your religious leader. Right.
So several different, I guess, Total Energies. It's a company. As they're also protesting there. Mm-hmm. So I guess a lot of different companies and, you know, whatever, trash people, they're protesting. And it is because of the retirement age.
Well, so what they should be doing is taking the garbage and dumping it on the front lawn of
the parliament.
The parliament, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they don't.
Or
they
their
don't.
Homes, their private homes,
right,
or something.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that would probably be more effective.
But that would actually
but
be
instead,
working.
Exactly. That's the point.
Well,
they don't want to work.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and these guys, again, they get all kinds of perks. And if there's anybody that's lived in France and you can clue us in, because I suspect that like they get all kinds of time off already, and like that's why they have all the time to go
right.
and protest.
Or 30-hour weeks.
Right. Let's go to the phones, though. Saheed is on the line in Maryland. Saheed, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to talk about religion pretty much like always.
Sure. And you are a Muslim?
Yeah. And so I just wanted to say, like, first caller, the point that you brought up about all the different books and how truth can be pretty much everywhere and, you know, different peoples and different nations, different times, they get a certain message. And overall, it kind of looks the same if you got to keep an open mind, right? Well, that's pretty much all what the Quran talks about. That's like the majority of the subject that it speaks about in the Quran is about people denying things that they should be accepting. That's actually inside their own books, but they rather deny it. Because of you know, sectarian divisions, you know.
Well, one thing that the Quran says, if I recall correctly, because I did read it when I was in jail for civil disobedience over a decade ago, is that that Jesus was a prophet and one of many prophets. But then it says, and I think this is one area where it's wrong, is that Muhammad was the last prophet. And you know, my belief is that God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, that power that's out there that's, you know, greater than us is continuing to speak. Like, he didn't just say, oh, this is the last time I'm ever going to communicate with you, my creations. And and so I think that's where the Muslim, one of the things they get wrong. But anyway, go ahead.
Yep. I agree. I actually think that most Muslims are wrong on that as well, because it comes down to interpretation. Mm-hmm. It does say seal of the prophets, and there's a difference between a prophet and a messenger. And there's like a difference in like not just translation, because it gets down to it's all about Arabic and whatnot. So
I see. Okay.
There's people. Plus, there's plenty of different schools of thoughts when it comes to Islam or any religion, really.
Sure,
so,
of course.
When it comes to Jesus being being a prophet versus God, they had that conversation back within the first 10 years of Jesus passing away. You know,
mm-hmm.
They had like divisions with the Essenes and the Nazarenes, I think. And so. It's kind of interesting how people can have like the same conversation in different religions and even come to similar conclusions as one group, but then still have a huge divide because people aren't looking at the history, just looking at the current, like, how do you describe it? Like the kind of like the settled science kind of thing, you know, even though they're having that debate not too long ago, it's kind of like settled at a certain point. And so it's kind of like everybody's dug in.
Yeah, that does tend to be the case with people in their religious beliefs. They do get very dug in and very close-minded to other people who may have very similar beliefs. I mean, this is one of the things that Christians don't understand about Islam, is that Islam believes in a lot of the stuff in the Bible. It's just that they have a few, mm-hmm. you know, quibbles.
Well, that's why they need the fear-mongering, so people will still subscribe to their religion rather than, you know, opening up their beliefs. Like, oh, well, you can't be a Muslim, though, because you'll go to hell.
Yeah.
Lake of fire.
And the same thing happens in Islam as well, of course.
Sure, of course it does.
But one thing on top of that I did want to mention is that something that, you know, I like to look into the words and the history, etymology of words.
Mm-hmm.
And do you guys know the two words that are the two names of God that's used the most and starts every single chapter of the Quran? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You might hear that from other Muslims. That the Rahman and Rahim actually mean, if you look into the etymology, I posted in the Odyssey, it actually means love and compassion and mercy.
God is love.
And that's like the, that's like the number one name that's used other than Allah, of course, which is, you know, just is a generic word for God. But just wanted to mention that, you know.
Good stuff, Saheed. Anything else you want to share tonight?
There was something, but I completely forgot.
That's all right. You know, we're here 7 nights a week. Feel free to call any other time. I appreciate the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Yeah, I mean, there's more. Always more to say on the religious topic, but yeah. We'll continue. 603-283-6160. So we were talking about the French thing, and I don't know if there's more that that you want to share on that, Nikki. Do we pretty much
it
cover
kind of
this,
yeah
this
we
story?
We
yeah,
covered
ahead.
Most of it. Most, you know, the trade unions are being peaceful. Other people are striking in a mm-hmm. more violent way.
The agent provocateurs are probably in there as well.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to get what they want, which is to stop the increase.
So basically, if the no confidence vote fails, the bill will become law.
Mm-hmm.
And if the majority agrees, it would spell the end of the retirement reform plan and force the government to resign, although Macron would always reappoint Borne to name the new cabinet. So,
so
it
wouldn't matter because they want Macron to be punished and
yeah.
And so they would fire the whole government, but then the guy they don't like gets to appoint the government.
So it doesn't
again.
Really make much sense to me. And that's
so
that's the thing about governments, and you know, it's just
well, it's so
does it, is it really gonna yeah, like what is the point? Oh, we didn't like these people, so we're gonna throw them out, replace them with some other yeah. scumbags. Does it really matter?
What the government probably wanted to do was to increase the retirement age by 1 year. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they'll say, well, let's make it two years, and then they'll fight
we'll
back and like,
in
we'll,
the middle.
We'll compromise it 1 year.
Yeah.
So we all got something.
That's how they do it.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right,
right
about
we,
that.
You know, under-promise, over-deliver, or over-promise, under-deliver.
coming up here, we can talk about what's going on with the banking situation, the latest on that. Turns out, according to one study, there's over 186 banks, I think, that are in a worse shape than Silicon Valley Bank.
So. It doesn't sound good,
yeah.
Or it does sound good, depending yeah. on your perspective.
If you have money in those banks, it doesn't sound good. You might want to consider doing something about that. The number is 603-283-6160. You can also bring up whatever you want as we continue. Hour number three of Free Talk Live Sunday show is coming up.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and we're back.
And we're back.
Oh, oh boy,
I'm really screwing this one up.
Ian, take two.
Yeah, but I did pretty good the last time I was here on this show. I guess that doesn't count now. The number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show. It is the Live Sunday edition. The captain is out. He is in Seattle doing some
he's
music
rocking
recording.
Out.
Yeah, he is right now.
Yeah, I just got a photo from him.
I did too, with him yeah. holding a guitar in the studio.
I didn't get one. I got a rock.
Aww. Pet rock.
Well, if you're lucky, he'll bring back some weed for you, Steve.
Yeah, I don't. I pass on grass all the time. I mean, not all the time. I mean, I just don't.
I have to as well, unfortunately. But let's go back to your phone calls and thoughts. We were talking about the French protests, where protesters, essentially lazy people, are upset that they're going to be told they have to keep working until age 64 in order to get government benefits. And they like government benefits there in France, so they want to get those benefits sooner rather than later. So they're in the streets and burning things and throwing blocks at people and police and that sort of thing. It's, you know, people
it's very
that are,
privileged, you know?
It's hard to take a side on this one because I don't like the police and I don't like privileged
socialists.
Welfare socialists. Yeah,
yeah,
so have fun.
But burn also, it all down.
Yeah, also Trump is possibly going to be arrested this week. Some people are saying, nah, that's not going to happen, or maybe it won't happen on Tuesday. And Trump wants people to hit the streets and protest. Will they? So far they haven't, but we'll keep an eye on that story as it develops as well. The banks, of course, are the big story of the week, and if you want to weigh in on anything, you're welcome to. The number 603-283-6160. Let's talk to Joe. He's in Maryland. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Nikki. Hello, Ian. Hello, Steve.
What's on your mind, Joe?
As always, Ian, Nikki, you're in my prayers. I don't remember Steve being on there before, but I'll put him on the prayer list too.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank
all
you.
Right. Let's talk about Trump. Remember I told you he was the wild card?
In what way is he a wild card?
Okay. Remember I told you the Council of Nine, who the families that ruled the world in secret.
Yeah, you did mention something about that on a recent call.
Right. And Trump and Putin, they're wild cards. Well, with Putin, with that, you know, weak indictment with NATO, which
You're talking about where they're charging him with whatever, Putin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's really nothing. But with Trump, they want to silence him. And that's what they're trying to get, where he's not able to run and win again, you know, win the presidency again.
Well, isn't there some kind of obscure rule in the federal code that says if you get charged with something, I don't know if it's felony or not, what the rule is, but that disbars you from, or bars you rather, from running for president?
Right. If it's a felony, but misdemeanors, okay, still run.
Got it.
So I think they're trying to get rid of him, and because if he becomes president again, he gets, you know, more power than he should. And who knows what the hell is going to happen if he wins. But let's talk about the French people.
Okay, sure.
And you guys were talking about, you know, they're lazy and stuff like that, right? But the French people are a great nation. They were the ones who, like, in 1848 started where they rebelled against the governments and stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, but these aren't the same people, though. Historically, maybe. I mean, I come from French ancestry. I'm over half French, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about generations later, right? I mean, these are people who've been hooked on welfare for a long time.
They gave us the Statue of Liberty. Come on.
I also want to say...
Yeah, because they didn't need it, right?
I also want to say that I don't like making generalizations of, like, entire countries. So we're not saying that the entire country of France is lazy. And maybe there is, and I said earlier in the show, there might be more to these protests. It might just, you know, I'm just reading what the media has to say about it. Maybe there's more to it than just they're increasing decreasing the retirement age by 2 years.
Increasing it. 62 and it's going to go 64. Anyway, Joe?
I'm just saying that the French people got a lot of these protests started, like in 1848, where they got Charles X to abdicate because when they were rebelling and stuff like that, he wouldn't fire on the French people. And he wouldn't, you know, unleash the cannons and bullets on them. Now, in that time span, the English, they made a deal and they made concessions to their people. But the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the German Empire, and the Russian Empire, they all fired the cannons on the people and just crushed their revolution.
They're doing that here in the United States. I mean, not the cannons per se, but are rounding people up
water
by
cannons.
The thousands
Bring
after the
water
fact.
Cannons.
Well, you know what? Maybe with this thing and Trump protests, and that'll start alerting the government that they should be treating us better. Because,
I don't think so.
It's going to happen.
I doubt that.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, the whole federal government's going to have to come down. And I'm not talking about through violence. I just mean it's going to come down through economics over time. It's not going to last, but they're not going to get nicer towards the end.
No.
Right. I agree with you because, you know, this system is broken. It was supposed to be a republic. And
well, from that perspective, I mean, you can say that, but from the perspective of those who wish to be in charge, it's working quite well. I mean, they have total rule over this landmass. They have the ability to print money at will and give it to their buddies. So, I mean, things are working pretty good. It's just not going to last forever for them.
Yeah, that is a horrible thing.
And they know that. They know that the time's limited. They're trying to stretch it out.
But they're all old. They don't care. Right. It's going to probably last the rest of their lifetime.
Their lives,
so they don't care if they destroy the value of the dollar. They don't care about any of the lasting repercussions of this because they won't be alive to see it.
Yeah,
so
and their kids,
they're sitting pretty now.
If they care about their children, I mean, these are psychopaths, so they probably don't. But even if they care about their children, they know they're going to be okay, right?
Yeah,
like, you
they're
know,
set up.
They're going to be fine. They got plenty of wealth. So even if the dollar crashes and burns, I'm sure they're not going to be eating canned food at the end of the day. Joe, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. By the way, the number here, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes. I just want to mention that alkaline water, I've seen it in the Herbalife
Sarah,
store.
Sarah, you've been calling about the health products a little bit too much here recently. I don't really know if that's something that most people are going to find interesting. But as a welfare recipient yourself, it would be actually interesting to have you comment on what's going on in France. I mean, have you been paying attention to what's happening over there?
Well, yeah, it's a very socialist thing to lower the retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
When in Russia, when they had the revolution, the retirement age was, I think, 50 in the beginning.
Wow.
And then they raised up to like 55. And so then why are they working the old people to death until they drop dead? Why are you so
is
much
65 like elderly now?
People are dropping dead at 65.
Well, with the COVID shot,
yeah,
maybe they are.
Yeah. Lucky if they make it that long.
No, I mean, you want them to work until they're 64. That's what you like. Well, I mean,
I don't care. If somebody wants
like
to stop working at 50, I mean, that's up to them. Mm-hmm. But this is all about when they get the government check. Right? You can stop working whenever you can afford to stop working. If you've been good at saving and investing your money, you might be able to stop long before 64.
I mean, my first yoga instructor, she was 84 years old. She was an excellent condition because she did was teach yoga. I mean, she could hold the plank for like 5 minutes.
Damn.
So she was in very good shape, and she planned on teaching yoga until she died.
That's the way to do it.
So I mean, she loved doing it.
Is she still
why
out there?
Not?
Did she pass away?
Yeah, no, she's still
planking.
Teaching. She's still she can probably hold her plank for 10 minutes.
That's
now.
That's impressive.
You know.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
so,
I want to get that level.
Yeah,
that
so it continued to thrive.
Well, I mean, what is wrong with taking care of old people that have worked all their life?
Hey,
why are you so much into like beating them up until you don't want them to enjoy anything in their life? You want them to work? I mean, what's
some people
with,
actually
I mean,
enjoy working. See, that's the thing you don't understand, Sarah. This lady that Nikki is trying to tell you about loves what she does. It is not work for someone that loves what they do.
And
you've never worked a day in your life, basically, since you were 17, Sarah, so you don't even know what it means.
I also want to say I literally took care of elderly people. I was a CNA for years.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm not opposed to taking care of the elderly, but I don't want to pay for it.
I'm working talking about alkaline water because that helps cure cancer. I'm trying to let people know if you take calcium, it'll cure cancer.
Well, I
got to
give you credit for, you know, being good at, like a politician. She's good at coming back to her main point, to her message. But it's more interesting to actually hear your opinions about these issues, Sarah, because we don't agree on this particular matter. And I think that there's a lot of people that share your view out there that think that retirement should be something that everybody, quote unquote, deserves, and that it should be forced, that people should be forced to pay for somebody to retire, whether they are ready for it or not.
What if they put the alkaline water in those water cannons? Would that help?
That way you can get healthy.
Well, yeah, you can get healthy
water,
in protest.
Again, the alkaline,
she's gonna ignore that
pH
question.
Is 7. So the thing is that it drives the acid out of the body. When you drive the acid out of the body, we get oxygen.
Hey, if I want to take acid, I should be able to take acid without getting a water can.
This has not been clarified by the FDA. It's not.
Thanks for the call tonight, Sarah. I appreciate it. Heard enough of that. The number here is 603-283-6160. David is in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, first I wanted to tell Turd Ferguson that he might find it interesting reading. A cousin of my grandfather, I was looking at a picture of Ernest Orlando Lawrence with Niels Bohr, and Ernest Orlando Lawrence, the Lawrence Livermore Lab is named after him. And there's a lot of interesting tie-in between Lawrence and Niels Bohr and Teller and Oppenheimer and a bunch of other ones. So if Turd is listening, he should search Ernest Orlando Lawrence.
And why? What's he going to learn? What's the takeaway here? For all the listeners that aren't going to take the time to do that.
Turd was talking about theoretical physics, and Ernest Orlando Lawrence won the Nobel Prize for splitting the atom using a cyclotron. And he invented the cyclotron, which, if you're familiar with the Large Hadron Collider.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Well, that's a cyclotron. Lawrence invented that, and that is used to do all kinds of research on particle physics, which is a big player in quantum physics and theoretical physics. And so I thought it might be of interest to anybody that's interested in that kind of thing, like Turd is, and I am. There's a lot of interesting discoveries if you read up on the internet about Ernest Orlando Lawrence. He's under represented and underknown in the realm of physics, even though he's kind of a key person in the physics world of that era. So that's why I'm bringing it up.
All right, David. Anything else you want to share?
What I actually wanted to mention was that you're talking about the, well, first of all, are you guys fans of George Soros?
No.
No, I never heard of him.
You've never heard of George Soros?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's like the big financier. He has the big puffy eyes. Donor. He's an old guy.
Probably why I've never heard of him.
He's probably drinking children's blood to stay alive.
District attorneys.
He pays for all kinds of like left-leaning activist organizations. So anyway, what about him, David?
Well, several things about him. But first, let me key first on something that Steve said. Talking about funding district attorneys, you remember when the district attorney in Bernalillo County, Raul Torres, was trying to put me in jail for four different counts of riding the ass, basically, of the KUNM radio station. And I defeated Raul Torres, district attorney. I defeated him four times. Well, he was a Soros district attorney. He received about $100,000. For his campaign to win that DA position in Bernalillo County.
Okay.
And now Raul Torres is the Attorney General of the state of New Mexico.
Oh, wow.
And without that help from Soros, who knows whether he would have won that first election to become the district attorney. And that's what's critical about what Soros is doing. It actually works for him and for his agenda, because he takes people that might not otherwise get into power and gets them into power. And in real life example, that lowly DA is now, you know, the highest law enforcement officer official in the state of New Mexico.
Yeah, he's got his fingers into all kinds of things. Remember Sam Bankman Fraud, that guy that was running the FTX exchange?
Yeah.
George Soros donated more than Sam Bankman Fraud. And so it's like Sam Bankman Fraud was number two to George Soros.
Right. So, so he owns any candidate that he contributes to. He owns, owes favors.
Exactly. And he gives to a lot of organizations as well, not just candidates. So there's a rumor, I don't know if it's true, that Soros donates to Granite State Progress, which is the big pro-government organization here in New Hampshire. They go up against the Free Staters. So he's supposedly behind that organization as well. So that's how they get their paychecks. Thanks, David, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Of course, Soros probably has a lot of his billions in banks.
Oh, no.
I'm sure they're in the right bank.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that came out this week, is that the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, pointed out that they're not going to back up every bank account on every bank that fails. They've done that on the first two. But she says only the ones that have strategic whatever are going to be
backed.
Only
the ones that have the strategic.
So that means her
like
buddies.
A little hobbit.
Right? That means the people that are connected. They're the ones who are going to have their accounts saved. So wherever it is, Soros is banking is probably going to get a bailout. But not every bank is going to get a bailout. In fact, Peter St. Ange, who was apparently like a Mises guy, he's been posting some really interesting videos about this. I recommend following him. He seems to be paying close attention, seems to know a lot about economics. This is from his Substack blog, which is stonge.substack.com. It's the weekend, but our fresh financial crisis does not sleep, and a recent study says we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. The Washington Post yesterday wrote, quote, "If banks were suddenly forced to liquidate their bond and loan portfolios, the losses would erase up to 91% of their combined capital cushion. In other words, we're already right up against the edge." The Post cites two studies that total unrealized losses in the system are between $1.7 trillion and $2 trillion. The total capital buffer in the U.S. banking system is $2.2 trillion. That's about a 10 to 20% buffer, and now running into a market crisis where bank stocks have declined by about a third in the past few weeks. He says something about their P&E ratio is 7.35. I have no idea what that means. But he points out also that the Wall Street Journal is revealing a study from Stanford and Columbia finding that 186 banks are in distress, possibly to the point of seeking a bailout. The study estimates that hundreds of banks are in worse shape than Silicon Valley Bank, the one that failed a week ago. hundreds have larger losses than Silicon Valley Bank, and hundreds have lower capitalization buffers in the case of distress than Silicon Valley Bank. So the question is, if that's all true, and I have no reason to believe that it's not, they've run the numbers, mm-hmm. why did Silicon Valley Bank fail first if other banks are even more over-leveraged, even more behind the ball, getting these loans that they have, treasury bonds that are now worth next to nothing compared to what they paid for them.
Yeah.
Why are these guys not failing? Some people have suggested it might have to do with the fact that simply the account holders at the tech bank are a little more connected. They're a little more, into communications.
And they probably don't have $250,000 in an account. They probably have $250 million.
Yeah.
So they take their money out big like that, it's not like you and me taking out 10 grand or whatever.
Yeah, that's another good point.
So if these other, if that's a big tech bank, you're talking about major tech corporations taking out lots of money. Like, I want all my money now. Well, they don't have, it's like, your money's in someone's house and it's in that whatever down the street.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, things get messy when that happens.
And they can't sell the treasury bonds to come up with the cash because they're worth less than they paid for them, and then they lose, and then...
That's a great point, because the demand on the deposits for withdrawal at Silicon Valley Bank was like $45 billion mm-hmm. in 24 hours.
Right.
And
so those tech moguls or whoever, tech companies wanted the money. They need the cash.
And the word's getting around. Too,
right. And where's the money flowing into? Is it staying in cash? Is it going into treasury? Is it going into crypto? It's going into Credit Suisse? I don't know. Is it going into the stock market? I have no idea where it's going. Gold?
Yeah. Well, if they could get it out, right?
If they can get, I think
some got it out.
Yeah. The ones that got to the front of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In short, while tech bros and loose bankers hog the headlines, what drives hundreds of banks to the edge is our crony banking system, says Anj. In this case, rapid Fed rate hikes crashed into a banking system that fractional reserve banking and the Fed's lender of last resort permanent bailout have driven to permanently drive as fast as possible, as close to the edge of the cliff as possible. Together, the moral hazard has given a green light to those reckless tech bros, to those loose bankers who hand out millions, it turns out hundreds of billions, and it drives the entire banking industry to use opaque accounting tricks to hustle sleepy regulators and innocent taxpayers and dollar holders who get stuck with the bill. The bankers themselves sleep like babies because they know you'll cover their losses, but they keep their wins. And I was the guy, what's his name, J.P. Freeman. Do you guys ever see him on YouTube?
Is that the comedian?
Yeah, he's a comedian. He's like a long hair, redhead guy. Yeah. J.P. Sears.
Oh,
Sears.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know why I was calling him J.P. Freeman. Yeah, J.P. Sears. I hadn't seen him in quite a while, but I watched his one on the banking crisis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like explained to dummies or something
that. And he makes it so funny. It's so simple, but.
Yeah, and he did a really entertaining job. I mean, he leans a little conservative, it seems.
He
like.
Has been coming out with some good content recently. A lot of his videos are very funny, and it's just kind of refreshing to see, even though some of them are a little too conservative for my taste.
Yeah.
It's nice to see someone, trying to alert the masses in a palatable way mm-hmm. where he knows, this is funny and people will share it, and people are more likely to pay attention to things that are entertaining. They're not going to read a scholarly article that's explaining, the average person is not.
Right.
So it's a good way to get information out there.
Right. White paper from the bank. I don't have time to read that. But this little 3-minute video is kind of entertaining.
Right. And he made a big shift during COVID was when he changed, because he used to just be kind of like the guy that makes fun of, but yet also seems to support some of the woo-woo tech and ideas out there. And he was fun to watch at that time. But then when the whole COVID thing started, he completely shifted his content.
Right.
And he went like totally...
Right, went from zero to a million followers.
More political direction, for lack of a better term. Which is kind of a risky move, because I'm sure he pissed a lot of people off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because his audience, I presume, was somewhat liberal to some extent. At least the types of liberals that could kind of poke fun at themselves to some extent because of
like two or three of them, I think. Right?
I think it paid out for him though because he gained a lot of followers.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about
well.
Him, right?
And, yeah, that's true.
Well, one of the points that he made that was pretty funny, and I think Anj just is touching on this, is like, oh, well, you could invest money yourself and then you take on risk and reward, but when you invest with the banks, you don't have to take on the reward part. You just take on the risk
it's
part.
It's only half of the worry.
Yeah, so he presents it in a more amusing manner. So I recommend you check that out. The number is 603-283-6160. We got more coming up here on the banking crisis. Plus, there's a guy who's betting $1 million. Actually, he just doubled down on this, that Bitcoin's going to hit $1 million.
And we're back.
We are indeed with Free Talk Live. There are still plenty of time for you to get in here if you want to join the show. The number 603-283-6160, the live Sunday episode here tonight. It's Ian,
Steve Classic,
and Nikki.
And we're talking about the banking thing, which maybe it's going to get worse this week, or maybe they've managed to kick the can down the road a little ways and... It might be a little bit, you know, maybe a few more weeks, maybe a few more months before the next bank fails. Who knows? I don't have any predictions, but it does look like they're desperate out there to try to stave off any further destruction.
My money is on the Trump thing. It's going to be a distraction. It's going to be a distraction.
The banking story is just going to
go
away.
I just have that feeling. The Trump thing and the banking thing.
You think
that
if the Trump thing happens, because may or may not, but if it does happen and a bank fails, that there will be very little attention paid to it.
Right, because it's all going to be riots, and then there's going to be people who are like, you know, yeah, Trump going to jail.
It's only one way to find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Time will tell.
Right. We'll be watching it, that's for sure.
Oh, and a big bank failed. Bank of America's under, but Trump. But look at Trump. Here's some handcuff pictures.
Yeah. Well, right now, people aren't paying a close attention to this, or if they are, they're not taking it seriously. Otherwise, there would be lines outside of the banks, and there's not.
Right.
Although, as our caller earlier pointed out, maybe that's because people are transferring their money rather than going and demanding cash. Which would be a mistake.
But you know what? I haven't heard of too many people personally in my life actually taking their money out of the bank. And
not
a lot
talking
of people
to you about it, at
no.
least, right?
And a lot of people, I mean, if they took their money out of the bank, I don't know if they would know where to put it. I mean, do you just take it out, bury it in your backyard? Do you invest it in crypto, gold? Most of like the quote unquote normal people, like non-libertarian people I converse with, aren't investing in gold. They have no clue about crypto. They're probably not going to bury their money in the backyard or keep it under their bed or in the floorboards. So where do you put your money?
Well, we're not financial advisors here, so this isn't financial advice. But I would say what I would do if I were legally allowed to was I'd be buying some crypto.
Absolutely.
Personally. And I am allowed to buy gold and silver. I'm not prohibited. For listeners that don't know, I'm on bail conditions or pre-sentencing conditions by the federal government for victimless crimes. But I would buy those things and keep as little in cash as possible because, you know, you're still going to have some cash to pay certain bills and whatever. You never know what's going to happen. And the other thing, I guess the risk to this, though, is obviously, you know, crypto prices can go down. Okay, so you don't know what's going to happen, but you know the value of the dollar is going to go down.
Yep.
The question is, how quickly is the value of the dollar going to go down?
Right.
Also, another question is, what other dirty tricks is the federal government going to use to try to keep you out of being able to exit crypto? And what I mean by that is, let's say you go all in, which I would not recommend that you do, but let's say you...
Hypothetically.
You put everything into cryptocurrency... And you're going to rely on these different tools that are out there to help you spend your crypto into the dollar system. So by that, I mean there's
converting.
Like these, there's
credit
cards
and stuff
right?
like so, that. Yeah.
Debit cards that are denominated in dollars, but you can fuel them with your cryptocurrency account. Well, what if the federal government targets those guys?
And those are banks.
Of course. Every debit card is backed by a bank at some point. So what if they target those banks that have the agreements with those companies to offer those cards? The cards get shut down, and then they're targeting the cryptocurrency exchanges to make it difficult for you to exchange out of crypto into dollars. So is it possible the federal government, so this would be like the worst case scenario for crypto, is are they going to close all the exits to crypto? It seems like they're trying to do that. It may be difficult for them to accomplish it, but they're trying to intimidate the banks. You know, Signature Bank, the bank that failed last weekend, or... They say didn't fail, but was seized by regulators to protect the investors.
You now, the investor.
They had 25% of their accounts were cryptocurrency businesses. And so the theory is that the federal government is targeting, it's targeted that bank specifically. Another bank that was crypto friendly went out of business 2 weeks ago, which was called Silvergate Bank out in California. They voluntarily closed after they were involved in the FTX situation. So it's like, yeah, okay, two banks that were pretty heavy on being friendly to cryptocurrency businesses have been closed.
Yeah, like, I mean, that could be a scare tactic to get us at the CBDC. Like, oh, Bitcoin is bad. Only, you know, criminals use Bitcoin. Like, I mean, that's the narrative all the time. I mean, if you've got a lot of crypto, maybe just get a one-way ticket to El Salvador. Just keep it in your back pocket. Go down there and spend it.
Well, I mean, El Salvador, that guy's throwing people into prison without any kind of anything.
Bukele's very Bitcoin friendly. I mean,
even get the volcano bomb, but he's also a dictator. I mean, that's the only problem there is like there's
what's more important?
Right. Into the lake of fire.
Yeah, I'm sure if you're a rich gringo or whatever, you're probably safe in El Salvador because you got money. They're going to probably leave you alone. But I don't know if I could sit there and just watch as they're literally rounding people up with the mere accusation of a crime. They're saying, we believe you're a gang member.
You've got tattoos all over your face.
Right. So you're a gang member, even if, you know, you gave it up 10 years ago or whatever. Oh, well, you're a gang member and we're going to take you into a new facility that they built to hold 40,000 people forever with no charges. And then good luck getting out.
Right. I mean, that's far scarier to me than losing money.
Yeah. So El Salvador, it's hard to get excited about.
Well, I'm saying, like, what are you going to do with all your Bitcoin if you can't spend?
Go to New Hampshire.
Yeah. Or yeah,
I mean, I can buy stuff with crypto here.
You can, but...
No, I accept crypto for services.
But that breaks down at some point. Unless enough people are accepting cryptocurrency, someone has to leave it at some point.
You've got to get it into the system. You've got to make it liquid.
Yeah. If you go down to Mighty Moose Mart and you buy some food or whatever off the shelf at the convenience store, if you buy some food there with crypto, eventually they got to buy more food. And
the distributor is taking crypto.
Guy,
yeah.
Right. So, like, and maybe those things would start to happen in a financial disaster situation.
But that's an if.
But again, it's still that question of how do you go from one form of money to this alternative? And having bank accounts makes that easier, but they're starting to put pressure on banks to make that
parallel economy
more challenging. Parallel Let's go economy. To the phones here. I got an unknown caller. Caller, what's your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
This is the Honorable Judge John J., the traffic man Romero, Jr. Can you dig it in?
I could dig it. That's a pretty good impression.
Is this WrestleMania?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Well, the traffic man has some beef with David in New Mexico,
Okay. Well, have out the beef. Go right ahead.
Well, if David has beef with the traffic man, he can meet the traffic man in the squared circle. The squared circle in the circle town square of King, New Hampshire.
Keene?
Diggity.
Why do they have to come all the way here? I mean, he's in New Mexico.
Stay in New Mexico.
where are you at, Judge?
I don't know. I just thought that would sound good, and it's starting to give me a headache.
That's a tough one. That's got to be a tough... That's a tough impression
it was good,
to
though.
Do. Is that an actual wrestler character? I don't know if I'm familiar with him.
That is the Macho Man Randy.
It sounded like Macho Man, but you were doing the voice to some other name, so I wasn't sure who the judge was.
Judge Ramirez. Oh, yeah. The guy that trafficked David in New Mexico is kid.
I didn't connect it. Yeah. I didn't connect it. Okay, I should have.
That was challenging.
Okay. Anyway,
love you, David. Though I appreciate how committed he is to his kids, and you know, like he calls in all the time about them. But,
well, that was a good commitment to the voice. Fun. I mean, that was a long amount of talking you had to do. For
get
that.
Him up to Red Square.
Yeah, I kind of got a headache. I'm gonna hop off of here.
All right, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate the effort.
Later.
That was pretty good. You don't get good impressions very often on the radio. Usually the
like Jerome's Don Cashane tonight.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
That was a good one.
Not bad.
Keep it interesting, you know? Yeah.
Let's go back to this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, it's Tim from Florida.
Tim, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking there's two problems with Bitcoin and El Salvador.
Okay.
I think you're aware of both of them. The first is that the vendors, I guess they're required. I don't know how much is enforced, but they're required to accept Bitcoin.
Yeah, that is a problem, but that is supposedly not being enforced. So it's written that way in the law that it's, you know, legal tender and it has to be accepted. But Bukele, the president, knows it would be very unpopular to go and like round up a 70-year-old guy who's selling burritos or
send him to that prison
cart.
If you don't accept Bitcoin, you go to that prison.
I mean, that's not the look that he's looking for. He wants to be tough on crime, but not like that.
Yeah.
That's good that, you know, it's not being enforced. But
not
the
yet.
Second problem,
not yet.
Yeah, good point. The second problem is that correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't people required to use the government sanctioned wallet, which basically
No, they're not. There is a government sanctioned wallet in El Salvador. It's certainly pushed as an option for people, but no, you can use, I believe, any kind of Bitcoin wallet, or it may be Lightning wallets. I'm not sure what the vendors are taking over there, but there's not a mandate that you have to use a state wallet.
And that could be a yet as well.
It could be, but as I understand it, that is not the case at this time.
So I would hope it's on the Lightning Network. I mean, imagine if you have to wait, like, you know, half an hour. Like, I got to pay for this sandwich. I got to wait for half an hour for the transaction to go through.
Not necessarily. A lot of point of sale systems out there, they detect the payment coming through. It's just with Bitcoin, you have to wait 10 minutes for the confirmation. But as long as it's coming through, it's probably going to be confirmed. So you can usually just let somebody go with a sandwich, unless they've got.
You're buying a car. I don't know. You may have to stick around.
But definitely you'd want to wait for that one. But one of the problems with Bitcoin in recent years, from a technological standpoint, is I don't know. Maybe it was like 5 years ago they put something in called replace by fee, which was a terrible idea for anyone that values like finality in their payments. If you turn on replace by fee onto your transaction, then you can actually undo the transaction after you send it, which you're not supposed to be able to do with cryptocurrency. As long as it hasn't gotten that first confirmation yet, you can actually
stop the transaction. Oh, wow.
And,
for a fee.
And that could be... I don't even think you have to pay a fee. Oh. Maybe you do. But that could, in theory, allow for somebody to scam a store or something like that. But the store could simply require that not be turned on for the transaction. Right. That's why Bitcoin isn't good for payments. It's just not really a good payments platform at all. Mm-hmm. And anyway, anything else, Caller, you want to share?
Yeah, the last thought was that basically with the right government-sanctioned wallet, you know, in whatever country, they could actually use a decentralized solution like Bitcoin. But rather, they could use it as a centralized system with the correct wallet. They wouldn't necessarily have to create a from scratch CBDC to effectively make a CBDC.
Well, I see what you're saying. You're saying it would be some sort of off-chain solution or like
right.
layer
so,
two solution.
So if they required, like a layer two, and if they required grocery stores to accept it as payment, for example, now they've created a two-tiered Bitcoin system where like you have outlaw Bitcoin and you have legal Bitcoin.
Well, that could very well be the Lightning Network, since that is a more centralized system, as I understand it, without getting too technical. But thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. As I understand it, they did hire some Bitcoin programmer to program the CBDC. So like they are absolutely using some of the aspects of Bitcoin when it comes to the CBDC, except they're getting rid of the whole decentralization thing.
FedCoin. So, what is it called? FedNow.
That's the payment system that they're implementing for interbank transfers starting this summer.
Oh, right. That's just bank to bank.
That's going to be like step one.
It's like B2B.
Basically,
it works for the banks. Look how great the banks are doing.
They
got to
get that
right?
done first.
They're going to create a crisis. They're going to say CBDC is between banks. And like, oh, everything's great.
Well, the crisis is happening now, right? Like, that's another theory with this bank situation.
Right. So the crisis is happening now. June Fed now rolls out. Mm-hmm. Hey, everything's
right on
great.
Time.
This is perfect. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just do it between consumers?
Yeah. I mean, if you just trust the federal government, then you don't have to worry about these banks failing.
Right.
No, that's the kicker.
Mm-hmm. Come to the rescue.
Get your free app now.
Besides, what are the banks doing for you anyway? 0.001 APR or something like that?
Right.
So it'll be persuasive. Mm-hmm. Let's go to David in Kansas. You're on Free Talk Live, David.
Hello. How are we doing this evening?
Hey, what's on your mind, David?
Well, you know, one of the things that really worries me about the central bank electronic currency talk
you know, is a centralization and asset forfeiture, civil asset forfeiture. I believe that it's just going to make it so much easier for civil asset forfeiture.
Sure.
Now, not only at the state, local and state level, but now at the federal level.
Well, yeah, they used to have to send a letter to the bank. You know, they had to jump through at least that hoop or go down and knock on the door. Right. Not a big hoop, but now they could just press a button with the CBDC.
You don't hear, you don't hear much about federal civil asset forfeiture, you know, as much as you do about local. But now you come up with an electronic currency that's, you know, run by the Fed. All of a sudden, federal asset forfeiture becomes a whole lot more realistic, which is really, really scary. You know, there are many stories just out of Kansas alone of civil asset forfeiture that just should scare anybody. I mean, anybody. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, non-denominational. It doesn't matter to me. Civil asset forfeiture should scare the living daylights out of you. And now you've got people who are just like, oh, the federal government's coming up with its own cryptocurrency. Wrong. It's not a cryptocurrency.
Nope. Not
it's
even
not
close.
It's not a cryptocurrency.
You but know, that's what they not, want, confusion. You know, they want people to think that, it's like Bitcoin, but
it's
without
safe.
All the risk.
It's safe Bitcoin.
Without
all the risk. And see, that's the thing is what people don't realize about Bitcoin and why they think it's so bad is that those of us that keep it and want to use it is because we're trying to keep dollars out of the hands of the federal government who use it to do nothing but wage war around the world.
Absolutely right, David. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else you want to get out there tonight?
Thanks. You all have a good night. Stay safe.
Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. So back to Peter St. Ange. She's a professor, I guess. Maybe it's not Peter. What is his first name? Yeah, it is Peter. Okay. Peter St. Ange. He's talking about the bank situation, and he says on his Substack, what turned this rigged casino into a crisis is in the past year, the Fed hiked rates at the fastest pace in 50 years from 0% last March to 4.5% to now 4.75% today. They did this in a desperate bid to cancel the inflation they caused by financing $7 trillion in deficit spending and COVID lockdowns, which, by the way, Trump signed. Remember that first bailout package?
That's right. He is responsible for the $7 trillion.
Don't forget that about him.
Don't forget that on Tuesday.
Yeah, indeed.
You're out there protesting.
Those of us who wondered why voters stood by meekly had only to look at the flood of money going out the door. These reckless hikes savaged long bond prices, by far the most popular asset in bank vaults. Across the board, long bonds fell 20%, feeding an estimated 10% plunge in all bank asset values. In essence, the bank thought it had a dollar in the vault, but it turned out it only had 80 or 90 cents. In the case of high flyers like Silicon Valley and potentially hundreds more, as they've found there's like at least 186 banks that may be worse off than Silicon Valley Bank, it was more like 60 cents on the dollar, and few banks can survive that. So what's next? He says the slow motion train crash is now making contact. Last week, $152 billion in loans went out the Fed's discount window. What's that? Well, the discount window is where desperate banks go when no one else will lend to them.
The lender of last resort.
Like a junkie selling their television. That dwarfs even the worst of the 2008 crisis at $111 billion. So he's got a chart here that shows the discount window borrowing, and it just shows you in 2008 it shoots right up from like near to zero all the way up to over 100.
I think it's time to call Zelensky and get the money back.
$111 billion, and now that number is $152 billion in just the last week.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's crazy. A bad sign, okay? And he says that dwarfs the previous number, and we passed it in week one of this situation, whereas in 2008, it was months into that financial crisis at that time.
Things are accelerating.
So what's next? Probably a lot of pain and a lot of inflation. And then he says that we, of course, will survive. Real assets don't vanish. Food, cars, electricity are all there. It's a paper crisis. But unfortunately, that paper crisis has sucked real Americans in, suckered them into putting their life savings into the care of a bunch of degenerate gamblers in expensive suits. And it can bring enormous collateral damage to the wider economy that, yes, provides those food, cars, and electricity. if government steps in, as it usually does. He says, concretely, I'd expect trillions of dollars in bailouts, driving inflation back towards last year's highs, perhaps even into double digits. Because right now they're celebrating 6%.
Woohoo!
Because remember, it got up as high as 9-something percent last year, which almost hit the double digits. And again, these are the highly manipulated federal numbers.
Right, yeah, so who knows what it really is? Right,
what a great job we're doing. We took it down 3%.
Yeah, up from two, which is good. Their normal target
right, to nine.
For inflation.
Like, well, now so we're back at six. We're
it's
doing
still
great.
Three times right. what it normally.
It's like gas
is.
$4.50 a gallon. Now it's like three something.
And you're supposed to celebrate.
Yeah, look how low
Biden
it is.
Wants you to celebrate him lowering "quote unquote" right. the gas prices. Don't remember that it was like $2 when he took office.
Right.
So he says he's expecting more inflation. The Fed will abandon the inflation fight that it started, opting instead to bail out the bankers who it serves. Of course, that's what the Federal Reserve is. It's the big banks. And we, the people, as always, will pay the tab for the bailouts, for the inflation, for the stagflationary crisis that's looking increasingly likely. How to protect yourself? He says, if we're headed for a crash, you want hard assets. Bitcoin, if you understand it, understand it enough to hold it in a storm. Gold, if you don't. Periods of chaos drive big swings in markets and prices, so you'll be tempted along the way into equities and bonds. But going by the principle that the first goal of investing is being able to sleep at night, I'd probably keep the powder dry until the smoke clears. And one of the benefits of doing things like cryptocurrency or gold and silver, as long as there's a way out, because again, that's maybe
the challenge.
To get it
back into Federal Reserve notes.
Right. So one of the benefits of that is they're liquid. So you're not signing on to something that's going to hold your money for 3, 6, 10 years, months or a year or 5 years or whatever. So some people are going to be tempted into going with like treasury bonds or whatever. No, that's part of the problem. You don't want to give your money voluntarily to the government.
Right. Well, you were saying like where would you put your money? I mean, I'm buying boots. I'm buying garden materials.
Absolutely.
I'm buying, you know, maybe I should buy another 4 set of tires and just leave it in the garage.
Food. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Food,
water. Buy a freezer, get extra food. You know, that's where you can put your money. Because you know that if you're buying something now, I mean, if you just look at the stuff in your freezer from like 6 months ago, it's like,
yeah,
wow,
what did
that
cost
cheap.
You?
Yeah.
It's cheap.
Right. Well, and the advice I always like to give people is try your best to be self-sustainable. You know, plant a garden, get some chickens, you know, get whatever to be able to feed yourself and survive, you know. A wood stove, things like that are going to be very valuable if there's a full societal collapse.
Buy firewood.
Yeah.
Or
you know,
land.
Or land, where you can cut down trees. I mean, that would be even better. Buy 10 acres of land. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not everyone can do that. But if you have the money and you're looking for somewhere to put it, that might be a good idea.
Don't take your money out of the bank and put it into bonds.
Yeah, that's stupid. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same.
Well,
you know?
If you can't buy land, that might be an indicator that you live in a city, and that may be something you'll want to consider changing as well.
Right? Buy more padlocks for your door, maybe. I don't know what you do with your money.
Yeah, I mean,
buy another freezer. I have no. I mean, like, what if they shut the power?
If you're in a city, you're gonna be up S Creek.
Well, you'll be at the FEMA camp.
So
twice a week.
If you're in a city,
food.
You ought to be. And if you're a libertarian, you should be moving to New Hampshire as soon as possible. Like you want to be able to get out before you can't get out.
Right.
Right. Before you're prohibited from leaving or something like that.
You can
that.
Only leave twice a week.
Yeah. Only twice a week. And you're going to get fined. Yeah.
That's where your money will go. I want to leave the city. Here's my money.
Yes. Yeah,
which is basically where I always remember Ron Paul saying, yeah, you'll get your Social Security. Every dollar you'll get it. But we don't know what
will it buy.
Yeah, what will it buy?
Yeah.
That, we can't guarantee
that. Be lucky
that.
If you can buy the cat food.
Right. You get $1,000 a month. Well, that $1,000 will buy you a gallon of milk.
Well, right. And that actually brings up the other thing that I wanted to mention here. And this guy who used to be like the CTO for Coinbase, his username on Twitter is @Balajis, B-A-L-A-J-I-S. This guy put up $1 million and then he doubled it. So he doubled down on this, saying that within 90 days... he believes that the price of Bitcoin is going to hit $1 million, and he's willing to put his money where his mouth is. And he said to people who want to take the bet, all right, we'll find an escrow. He has already found somebody, right? Mm-hmm. So he's found an escrow company or person or whatever, some trusted third party. He's depositing $1 million in crypto stable coins with that person. Mm-hmm. And he says to the other party, all you got to do is buy one Bitcoin and you deposit that with the escrow. So it's 40-1 odds, apparently. Now maybe it's 80-1 since he's doubled down, but it's... the odds are heavily against him, right? Like the odds that this is going to happen in 90 days seems pretty low, but he seems really confident of this, and he put up $1 million.
Charts in the past couple weeks have been great.
So what did it hit? 28,000 today.
It was over 28 today. Yeah.
And that's
coming back.
It hasn't been that high in more than a year, I think, right. At this point. Maybe even longer than that.
Plan B.
Out of time for tonight. You can join us tomorrow night online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com. Don't forget to check our social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Some of you have wanted to support Free Talk Live's mission on a monthly basis, but don't want to support Patreon. Now we have an alternative that also helps our premier streaming platform, Odyssey. Visit video.freetalklive.com and click join at the top of the channel. You can subscribe for $5 per month, and unlike other subscription services, Odyssey adds their processing fee on top, so it'll cost a little over $5 per month, but Free Talk Live will receive the entire amount you pledged. Higher donation tiers are available if you're feeling so inspired. You'll get a special membership badge that's visible in the Odyssey chat room, and if we get enough supporters, we may enable members-only chat. This new subscription method is a great way to decentralize our direct listener support away from just Patreon and also support a libertarian-run business, Odyssey. Please visit video.freetalklive.com and click join to subscribe to our Odyssey channel and help support spreading our message around the planet. Visit video.freetalklive.com and click join today.